ready or not, here we come. Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, you have till I erase the board to get ready. Quick, crack open the sarm. Where are we up to?
Sith Gimel.
Sith Gimel, sounds right. That was my guess also.
Or at least schnapps. Okay. Okay. They're very complex sugyas and rice from the Gemara back and forth. The next couple is Se'ifim, but we'll have to be Makatzer. Sif Gimel deals with a very fundamental machlok Yishonim as to when is the right time to do Chafifa. When is the ideal time to do Chafifa? So here we have the ideal time for Chafifa, assuming we're talking about someone who tovels at the beginning of the night, like we have. So here we have Svaros Hafuchos. Because the Gemara in the end says, well, a woman should do Chafifa during the day. A woman should do Chafifa at night. The answer is, it depends if you can or not. So does that mean you should do it during the day if you can, and if not at night? Or do it at night if you can, and if not during the day? Like, what's the ideal? If you can, if you have your choice, what should you do? So says Rashi, this is a famous halachos, Rashi and Shiltos. Says Rashi, the ideal is Bayom, Velo Belaila. Says the Shiltos, quoted in Tosos there in Old Rishonim, Belaila, Velo Beyom. What's the yesod between each of the, and the third famous Shita is Rabbeinu Tam, is Bein Kachu Bein. Let's do more.
Bein Beyom, Bein Belaila. Okay.
Rabbeinu Tam has a different read of that whole Gemara in near the end of Maseches Nida. In Daf, I think Samach Vav and Beis to Samach, Samach Zayin and Beis to Samach Chesem and Aleph. Sorry, he says it's all talking about like if it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, not a regular day. But Rashi and the Shiltos admit we're talking about a regular day. What's the ideal on a regular day? Says the Shiltos at night, not in the day. What's the svara of the Shiltos? This should be Pashut. Exactly, the svara is Samach. Ideally, as close as possible. If you do Chafif at night, that's closer than doing Chafif during the day. What's the Svara of Rashi?
There's not pressure to do it too quickly.
Exactly. The Svara of Rashi is what's called Mehuma Lebesa. She's in a rush.
Says Rashi, ideally you should do it during the day because you're not in a rush because you know you can't tovel till nighttime anyway. But if you do the Chafifa at night, then you'll be in a rush to get back to your husband. And therefore, you'll cut corners and not do a proper chafifa. Says the Shiltos, no, we're not worried about that. We're worried about something else. You don't want to get dirty in between chafifa and tefillah. And therefore, at night is the best, because then you go straight to the mikvah. You have the shortest delay. During the day is not as good, because then you have a slightly longer delay. And Tom says, who cares? What's the difference? Okay, those are the three main shitas. How do we paskin? Or before we get to paskining, and even though basically also the whole discussion is that Rashi and Shiltos just hold better or hold it's an absolute requirement, let's assume they say that no, you're required to during the day if you can according to Rashi. That's what most people assume, and during the night if you can according to the Shiltos. Everyone agrees that if you can only do it during the day, you do it during the day. If you can only do it at night, you do it at night. But the question is if you have the choice. Here we have a three-way machlokas. Who holds like Rashi in general? What kind of Rishonim hold like Rashi? What? Pretty much all the Rishonim Ashkenaz that are quoted hold like Rashi, right? The Rush holds like Rashi, and the Dargi Moshe points out in the Pashup Shat that the Sefer Truma and the Smag, and basically all the Rishonim Ashkenaz seem to hold like Rashi. And who holds like Shiltos? Svarad. Basically, all the Rishonim Svarad hold like Shiltos. The Riff and the Rambam and the Rashba and the Ran. All the Rishonim Svarad hold like the Shiltos. Okay, Rabbeinu Tam did not prove to be so popular. And, however, the Rush and other Rishoni Ashkenaz, okay, let's see, and among the Rishonim, let's see how we paskin. So, says the Mechaber, Sif Gimel, Chachfifa tzricha lios lechatchila, samach litvilasa. Lechatchila, it should be, samach litvilasa. That Pasha Pshat is, he doesn't say in quite, in quite so many words, but the Gra says that means he holds like the Sheltos. The Mechaber seemingly paskins like the Sheltos, like Olim Rishoni Sfarad, which makes a lot of sense. And among Rishoni Ashkenaz, you also have someone on that side. The Shach quotes from the
Maharsha,
who also held like the Sheltos. However, the Shach feels very, very, very strongly here in this long Sifkat and Vav that Rashi is correct, and the Shach paskins like Rashi. He is sure me'ikra din, the only good pshat in the Gemara is like Rashi. So the Shach paskins like Rashi. The Mechaber paskins, even though it's a few words, but it seems pretty clear that he means to paskin like the Sheltos, like Olu Shani Sfarad, which makes sense. The Marshal, even though he's Ashkenazi, paskins like the Sheltos. Okay, he just thinks that's a good Sfarad. Halach l'maisa, though, none of this is so relevant, because l'kuli alma, or rather, this is the minhag. The minhag is both Sfardim and Ashkenazim agree. I have the same minhag. It started in the Rush. It actually, maybe it was in some of the Rishonim Ashkenaz before the Rush. It was famous by the Rush and the Torah. The minhag is to do both. Says the Mechaber, v'minig ha-kosher, she'taschel lochuf im bod yom, v'osekes l'chavim ha-she'techach, v'oz titvol v'chein, v'oz titvol. Says, what's the minig? Minig to do both. How do you do both? You do both by, you start chafifa in the yom, and finish balayla, meaning your chafifa has to be benesh mashos. You start chafifa while it's still daytime, you do your chafifa during Ben Shmoshos, so you finish your chafifa at night, and then you're yotze everyone. Since you started during the day, you're yotze Rashi, it's not a rush. Since you finish at night, you yotze the Sheltos, and it's samach, and there's no interruption where you could get dirty. That is the minhag olam, bein l'ashkenazim, bein l'sfaradim, so it doesn't matter so much whether we paskin like Rashi the Sheltos, like the Mechaber or the Shach, because both the Mechaber and the Shach both admit that the minhag is to be machmir both ways. V'chein, 1 second, min ha-kasher, sh'afi sh'chafa, tisa ima masvig d'bisa tfila, v'tisrok sham. It's also min ha-kasher that even though she did chafifa beforehand at home, she should bring a comb to the mikvah and do a quick combing of her hair, which would be pretty quick. She just combed it, so she shouldn't have any knots or tangles. Just last minute at the mikvah. Yes?
I see how it fully covers for this far of the shilah, but I don't see how it fully covers for Rashi.
Okay, it is an interesting question. After all, you might say for Rashi, it has to be Davka when there's no rush at all. Here, after all, there's a rush at all. You want to go earlier at night.
You need like half an hour during the daytime or something.
Okay, that is an interesting question. For Rashi, maybe you should say that this wouldn't help. You'd still be in a rush. After all, if I know it's 25 minutes till Tseis, I'll be in a rush to do it in 25 minutes. Unless the assumption is that this works for Rashi also, because if you start during the day and go through Tseis, go through night, that's plenty of time. And therefore, we're not worried according to Rashi. How long can you spend doing your chafifa? So the real answer, how long you've been doing your chafifa, depends on how long you've been married. You know, the first time you can probably spend a long time, and when you've already been married for 10 years, you become a little more efficient. But maybe that's the answer. Continuing in the Ramah, v'shasat chak shichalocha b'yom, v'shasat chak, you have to do the chafifa during the day. For whatever reason, there could be a million examples of Shasat Chak, why you have to do it during the day. The Taz suggests a few. The Oshi Yashul Lachav Yom Tzuk Lachav Lai, you can't during the day, you can do it at night. I mean, it could be because of Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's later on. Here it just means Stam Shasat Chak. Shasat Chak is just impossible during the day or impossible during the night. Then, Yechol Lassos, Shetzvich Lachav Bayom, then that is okay. Or if you can't do it during the day, you need to do it at night, that's also okay. So, b'shas adchak, that's the verse, hada efshar, hada lo efshar. Everyone agrees that they're both options. Just one is the ideal option, and one is, but lo efshar if you're stuck. So, if you need to, you can do it during the day. If you need to, you can do it at night. So, therefore, even Rashi, afilu Rashi, b'shas hadchak, chofefes balayla, and afilu l'fiyashotos, b'shas hadchak, chofefes bayom. Is there anything we need to add here? So the Taz adds one thing that's cut in Vav. He points out that even according to the Shiltos, where b'shas hadchak you do chafifa during the day and not at night, you should still, as the Taz in the Seven Paskin, we'll get back to this a little later, but this is Muslim among at least most of the Rishonim. The Chafifa, remember, Darbonan, Iyun is Doraisa. So says the Taz, even if you have to be Shas Hachak, do Chafifa during the day, you should still go back and do another Iyun at night. Just check. Are there any requirements, according to Rashi, if you do Chafifa at night? So the Shach quotes in Sifkatan Vav from the Maharshal at the end that the Maharshal had a Takana. He made a takana, says the Marshal. Loch of betasuk achvifa davka sha'achas shelo tehei mehuma lebesa. And that's much even according to Rashi. Bechafifa sha'achas. A lot of people, that in order to make up for it, according to Rashi, mehuma lebesa, so the Marshal made it in his tell, he made a takana. If the shas of chaki have to do chafifa at night, you should spend an hour. If you spend an hour, then you for sure won't be rushed, because an hour is more than enough time. We see from here, by the way, that in a normal chafifa, you don't have to spend an hour. Some people think this means you always have to spend an hour doing chafifa. No, this hour is just an extra thing, like more than necessary. Just to ensure you don't rush, we say do slower than necessary. Just make sure you don't rush, but in a normal chafifa, if you start during the day, then you don't need to spend an hour. This is only in a special Shas HaChak where you did Chafifa only at night in order to be Yotze, the opinion of Rashi. One last thing before we move on. But normally, you don't have to spend an hour. Sometimes the Kal teachers teach Kalas, you should leave an hour for Chafifa. You know, maybe it's a good idea to never be in such a rush. Like, you shouldn't start your Chafifa 20 minutes before the mikvah closes. Okay, it's always good to like leave yourself an hour before the mikvah closes so that you don't have to rush. But you don't have to spend an hour during chafifa. Only in a rare case where you didn't do anything during the day and do all your chafifa at night, and you have to do something that's b'di'evit according to Rashi, then they made a takana to spend an hour during doing chafifa. What do we do nowadays? Nowadays, it's not always so pasha to start your chafifa during the day and finish at night. That depends what time of the year it is. If it's in June, so it's wonderful to do exactly the minute kosher of the minhag kosher, right? It's hard to say minhag because like you don't always do it, but you try to do it. It's in June. It's when the seisa kochavim is. I don't remember what it is anymore in America, but let's say it's 8 o'clock or something, great! So, she starts doing her chafifa at 7 o'clock or 7:30 and then goes to the mikvah and whatever, and she's fine. Not so pasha in January, where, Tzeisak Ochavim is at 5, often people are busy then, they're at work, whatever. It's not so pasha to do your chafifa exactly during Bein HaShemashos. So, the modern day poskim saying nowadays, if you're not available during Bein HaShemashos, or for whatever reason you're not available during Bein HaShemashos, you can also be Yotze, the Minhag Kasher, by starting your Chafifa earlier in the day, and then taking a break to go to work, and then finishing your Chafifa later. Right? So if you clean yourself in the morning, and then you go to work, and then you clean yourself again at night. So that's also Yotze, Rashi, and the Sheltos, because you're not in such a rush. You already cleaned yourself in the morning, and therefore, even if you, Rashi wouldn't be worried. Even if you rushed a little, you're already clean, so it's not a big deal.
Was that better that morning clear? Like, how much do you have to do in order to say that
it's better to feel it? So, right, well, it says, Biyotze Rashi. You only have to do a little to be Yotzei Rashi. He's not such a big fan of the Shach. He doesn't pass it exactly like the Shach. He leans more towards the Shultos. So he says just to do some special cleaning for going to the mikvah. If you shower every morning, so shower a little extra. Shower a little extra carefully, and comb your hair and whatever else people do, but not to stress about it. Okay. Dalad. Chol tefilasa motzei Shabbos, efshe lochav yod yom, tachov b'leil tefilasa. What if your tefilas motzei Shabbos? Obviously, you can't do chafifa on Shabbos because you can't bathe in hot water on Shabbos, you can't wash your hair on Shabbos, and you certainly can't comb your hair on Shabbos. So, what do you do? So, no problem, you do it only at night. This is a case of a yefshar. You can't do it during the day, so everyone agrees to do it at night. Here, there is a bit of a machlokes. Here, there's a bit of a machlokes. The what about Motzei Shabbos? Obviously, can't do chafifa on Shabbos, and this really has to do with how you read the Shach Vatari, which we can't go into now. Says the according to the Shiltos Pashut. According to the Shiltos Pashut, Tachfof Balayla and Laila Motzei Shabbos. He says every time you should always do it at night, so there's no chiddush. What about according to Rashi, who says normally during the day? But you can't do it during the day, because it's Shabbos. So here is a machlokas between the Shach and the Gra. Says the Gra, Rashi lefi Gra, this is also she should do Chafifa and the Laila. Why? Because this is called Efshar. Since it's Efshar by Yom, even Rashi didn't have to do it at night. Maybe Luhum Lebeis. Okay, they weren't worried, but they didn't have another good choice. What's the other option? Right? It's interesting, like, in all these posts again and again and again, you see, even reading Yontif, pushing off fila is never an option in the Gemara and the classic Rishonim. However, Rashi, according to the Shach, says, nope, tachfof biyom be'erev Shabbos. He calls this efshar. He says, what do you mean? This is a case of efshar. After all, she could do chafifa 25 hours in advance. The Shach is his read of Rashi, and he passes like his read of Rashi is so strong. Better to do 25 hours in advance and have a 24-hour hefsek, and not be mehumah lebeis and do it at night. That's a very strong read of Rashi. We would have been more comfortable with the Gruz version of Rashi. Better to do it during the day if it'll be close enough. He says no. Better do 25 hours in advance, even 49 hours in advance. He'll say a little later, rather than bimhum lebesa. Okay, how do we paskin? So Svardim are very clear. Just do it at night. Either we don't really hold like Rashi, or even if we do hold like Rashi, we hold like the Gruz version of Rashi, and give me a break. Why do you do 25 hours in advance for no reason? However, the Ramah says that... The proper minhag is to do a good bathing on Friday, and then on Motzei Shabbos to go back and then wash and comb a little. That's the Ramah, meaning, what does the Ramah say? And the Shach says, that's not a minhag yafa, that's the Ikra Din, because you hold like Rashi. The Ramah says you should do some on Friday afternoon and some on Motzei Shabbos, meaning he's machmer both ways. The Ramah combines, do it on Friday afternoon and do it on Motzei Shabbos. The Taz says, well, if you did it on Friday afternoon, it's only been 25 hours. Notice, in those days, only 25 hours. It's a good bath and combing your hair is like a second, right? I mean, you know, that's fresh in the old standards of hygiene. He says, so if you did a good bathing and a good combing on Friday afternoon, you just do a little on Motzei Shabbos, and that's good enough. Our minhag is that we always do a good bathing and combing our hair on Friday afternoons for Kavod Shabbos, and many other times during the week generally, because we have different standards of hygiene, and therefore nowadays, very clear, whether even, without getting into whether we hold more like the Shach, that the Rashi is more authoritative, or more like the Machab and Shilta is more authoritative, nowadays, what do you do if you have mikvah on Matzah Shabbos? When you prepare for Shabbos, you do all the cleanliness anyway. Okay, so be a little extra careful because you're going to the mikvah Matzei Shabbos and be Yotzei Rashi. And then on Matzei Shabbos, do it all from scratch. We have enough hot water and, you know, with our modern technology now, it's not hard to do the whole Chafifa again on Matzei Shabbos. It's not like you have to go boiling up a pot of water. You have to go to the well and pump water and then boil it up in order to get some hot water. You know, we have, in our modern lifestyle, we are machmir a little more than the Ramah, or a little less than the Ramah. On Friday, we're machmir like the Ramah. That she should wash herself and comb her hair thoroughly, which is not a big comber because she does that every Friday. And on Matzei Shabbos, then we're machmir, she should start from scratch in case you get dirty over Shabbos. And even though the Taz says, oh, you can do tzarif a big washing Friday afternoon to a small cleaning on Saturday night and count it as l'chachila, with our modern hygiene, it's better to do a big washing on Friday afternoon and a big washing on Matzei Shabbos. It's not so hard because we have running water and all kinds of other things.
Do the hour thing? No,
you don't have to do the hour thing. The hour thing is only if you didn't do anything during the day. Here, you did something Friday afternoon, so you don't need the hour thing. It's pretty, you know, the hour thing would only be if mamish, you did not start during the day at all, even yesterday.
Then when did she cut her fingernails?
When did she cut her fingernails? Before Shabbos. I mean, if not, after Shabbos. But normally she would do that before Shabbos. Yeah.
If she usually, like, I don't know if we're going to talk about, like, a shower versus a bath, that makes a difference or not, but if, let's say, her minhag is to take a bath, she has to take a bath both on Erev Shabbos and Matzei Shabbos, or?
No, that one is good enough. And being Talmud of Harry Willink, who holds more like the Shiltas than Rashi, I would say push it off to Matzei Shabbos if you have a choice. In general, bathing and showering is a good question. There's nothing in the poskim about bathing versus showering, even though they had baths and they had showers. I mean, they weren't as convenient as ours, but they had both options. They do talk in other places in Shulchan Aruch about the difference between baths and showers. Lemaisa, there are some who have a minhag to davka bathe as opposed to shower. What's the advantage of bathing? Sometimes you need to bathe. Anyone remember the one case when you need to bathe?
If you have scabs,
you need to soften them, or other kind of calluses and stuff that you want to soften. If you have things you need to soften, then you must bathe. What if you don't have anything weird on your skin, just nice, soft skin? Then the minhag is that women try to bathe if they can, because that's more relaxed, and you feel like less of a rush, and, you know, etc. But it's not necessary. Let's say you live in an apartment with only a shower, like I've heard some people do. Or let's say for whatever reason it's not good for your skin to bathe. I mean, there are some women who it's not good for their skin to bathe, or whatever, it could be a million reasons, whatever it is. Then it's not necessary to bathe. It's nice to bathe. If it's an option, it's good to bathe because that makes you slower and more relaxed, and you're not mahuma. But it's not necessary to bathe. It's only necessary if you have scabs that you need to soak. Otherwise, if it's convenient, bathe, and if it's not convenient, then you don't have to. Okay, but that's not covered in the Shulchan Aruch. Hey, Nizdan lo tefila b'leil Shabbos tochav b'yom. There's really nothing to say about Sif Hey. If you total Friday night, there are no options. You can't do anything Friday night. So, you just do Chafifa during the day, l'kuli alma, and there's nothing to talk about. Vat chol leil tefila sabim motzei Shabbos v'hu yontif she'ef shor lochof. Oh, okay, there's one other case where I should mention, which is, what if it is on Matzei 3-day Yontif? Here is a big, it could happen, right? Just as likely as any other. What about, I don't know how to say this in Hebrew, but Matzei, it takes more words. Matzei 3-day Yontif. So, pretty much everyone agrees, including Rashi himself, that this is the case of Efshar Bayom, because that's 72 hours in advance. That's batal mevutal. That's ridiculous. So obviously the Sheltos would say, Balayla. Right? Rashi, Lefi, Rashi, the Rov Achronim, would also say Balayla. This is the case. There is a Gemara that said Efshar. In Efshar, Rashi's Moda. What's Efshar? This is Efshar. If it's 72 hours, then it's Efshar during the day. You can't count 72 hours in advance. That's worthless. Therefore, you should do it Balayla. The Shach goes so far. He's really kitzonis. He's radical, the Shach. Shach lefi derech Rashi. He says, I'm like Rashi, but I'm more than Rashi. He thinks that
Yeah, this is called E-Efshar in the Gemara, but you know what E-Efshar meant in the Gemara? E-Efshar meant in the Gemara, B'yom, B'erev, Shabbos, or Yontif, V'gam, B'layla, B'motze, Shabbos, or Yontif. He actually thinks that there's never a case they said you're potter from tefillah during the day, from kafila during the day. Even the case of 3-day Yontif was an E-Efshar to do chafifa during the day, you have to do during the day, and again at night. Okay, that's a very radical sheet of the shach. Most of the achronim do not agree with this. Like, that's crazy. What good does it do to do it 72 hours in advance? That's just wasting your time. But the shach is so serious about the shita of doing it during the day, he thinks even if it's 72 hours in advance, you can't rely on during the day, but you have to do both. Okay, lamaisa, most achronim are... don't go quite that radically. Okay, now, let's get to the tricky part. Vav, cholel tfilasav matzei Shabbos v'hu yontif, she'i efshar lachov. What if it's matzei Shabbos yontif, or for that matter, matzei yontif and Shabbos? You can't do on that night, and you can't do on that day. You only have one option, right? So here it's obvious. There's only one option, right? What if it's matzei Shabbos she'hu yontif? Or the opposite, right? Or for that matter, matzei yontif she'hu yontif. For chutznikim or Israelis or Rosh Hashanah, right? So, obviously you can't do it that night because it's Shabbos or Yantif. Obviously you can't do it that day because it's Shabbos or Yantif. So there's only one option, right? Only option is to do it during the day of Erev, Shabbos, or Yantif, meaning 24 or 48 hours in advance. That's the only option. There's no machlokas about it. The other option, you push off your tefillah. No one holds that. Right? So in that case, you have no choice but to do your chafifa 24 hours in advance, if it's a two-day, the middle of a two-day yontif, or 48 hours in advance, if it's the third night of a three-day yontif, right? Say Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and your tefillah is Friday night. You do your chafifa Wednesday afternoon, 48 hours in advance, technically 49 hours in advance. Right? And there's nothing you can do. Now the question, and you're allowed to. Chazal were mako. They were mako. The question is, Cholel tefilas matzei Shabbos hu yomtov she yefshar lachov az tachov be'erev Shabbos. V'chein mechol shnei yom tov miyom chamishi v'shishi v'cholel tefilas matzei Shabbos tachov. It's the example I just gave, yom revi b'Shabbos. Okay, that's a kula which Chazal allowed. They allowed the chafifa to be 24 or 48 hours in advance when you have no choice. Now the question is, what do you have to do in between? Says the mechaber v'tikshur sarasal kadol lo'odzul yisbalu. You're not allowed to comb your hair. Everyone knows, I hope, you're not allowed to comb your hair on Shabbos and yontif. People in this room probably don't comb their hair. But maybe some of us a little. If a woman has long hair, she's not allowed to comb it on Shabbos or Yontif. So, what does she have to do for that 24, 40 hours? She should tie up her hair neatly in order that it not get tangled. Meaning, she should not let her hair flow loosely where it'll get tangled. She should tie it loosely in a way. She should tie it in a way where it won't get tangled. Women know how to do that.
You can't even brush your hair with like soft bristles if it doesn't pull out any hair?
You can, but it won't help. That doesn't help with chafifa.
I'm saying for myself.
We paskin you can, okay? So the post can say maybe we should have a special soft bristle brush for Shabbos that's not being used during the week. That's fine, but that's not going to help. The soft bristles don't untangle knots and pull out knotted hairs. All the soft bristles do is make it lie neatly a little. Right? They don't really clean, you know, untangle your hair, so that's not going to help for us. Okay. So she should tie her hair in order that it not get tangled. Okay. None of the Rishonim suggested she should shave her head. That only came later in history. In some circles. This was a big machlokas Rishonim. What's the big machlokas Rishonim? Between the Sheltos and the Raven in the Bali HaNefesh. What is the Machlokas? What about Zahirus? Zahirus Bein Chafifa Litvila. So, Tikshur Saroseha. That is Lekuli Alma. Lekuli Alma, she should do that. What's the Machlokas? Whether she also has to, Mati? Be careful from any food or things that might get on her body. What about Zahirus mikol davar hamilachlech esgufa.
Zahira, she shouldn't feed her kids, and she shouldn't cook in the kitchen, and she shouldn't do anything that might get dirty. Does she have to do zahiras for anything that might get dirty?
So, says the she'iltos, tzricha li zahir, and says the Raivin in the Baalei HaNefesh, there's no need.
Why does Raivin think there's no need to be nizher? Because, after all, if she gets dirty, it's a problem. So why does the Raivin think she should be careful with her hair, but she doesn't have to be careful about her body? Why not? Because
she can do
Eon. She can do Eon, and if she finds dirt on her body, she'll wash that dirt off her body. I understand she can't take a hot bath, but she can take a little water in her hand and wash the dirt off her body, so she can do Eon, right? And he says, because she relies on Eon Bishas Tvila. Remember, we said that someplace on the board over there, that if you do your Tvila a little later, you have to do another Eon. Certainly, if you do 24, 48 hours later, you have to do another Eon. So she'll do Eon for her hair. It's hard to do Eon without combing her hair. And if she does Eon and finds something, then how does she get rid of it without pulling out hairs? So for here, Eon later is not an option. For her body, she'll just do Eon on her body later. And if there's anything dirty, she'll wash her hands. And what's going to get dirty? Her hands? She'll wash her hands. Big deal. And if another part of her body gets dirty, she'll wash that part of her body. It's, you know, that's allowed in Shabbos and Yontif. You can spot clean your body in Shabbos and Yontif. You just can't comb your hair. That's the Shita of the Raivin. What about the Shiltos? And who agrees with the Shiltos? The Tor and the Rush agree with the Shiltos. The Tor here says like the Shiltos. The question is, why not just rely on Eon later? So this is very controversial. Why not just rely on Eon later? Here, we're not exactly sure whether the Tor thought you didn't need Eon later. Right, the Beis Yosef made it sound like maybe the Tor thought that you did not need Eon later. But, so what are the two options here? Because you don't do Eon later, and that's why I said you have to be very careful, because there's no need for Eon later. That's like a chumrah in being careful, but a kula you don't need Eon later. Or, no, even though she does, this is what the Shach here argues vociferously for, even though she does Eon later, just in case she messes up. Of course she has to do Eon later when she tovels 24, 48 hours later. But in case she might make a mistake later, she'll forget to do Eon later, or she won't do her Eon thoroughly later, because they say when you do Eon without Hafifa, it's easy to miss things. Therefore, just to be on the safe side, she has to be careful. Okay, that is the discussion of the Shach in Sifkatan. Yud Aleph, that the Beis Yosef thought, not that he agreed, Chas V'Shalom, he just thought that's what that Tor, Lefi Beis Yosef, thought. He thought the Tor doesn't require Eon later. And that's why he says you have to be careful. But no. The Shach says that's crazy. There's no one who doesn't require Eon later. Why would anyone not require Eon later? It's been 24 hours. Of course you require Eon later. He was just afraid that you might mess up later, because since you weren't doing Chafifa, you might forget to do a proper Eon, and you might not be careful enough in your Eon later, and therefore you should be careful meanwhile. The Maisa, how do we paskin? So this depends if you are Ashkenazic or Sephardic. Says the Mechaber, if we skip the Ramah, let's just read straight Mechaber. He said, V'tikshar saras ha'kadosh is bablo v'shas tefila ta'ayim v'tivu kevi v'chol guf v'saras rosha. And at the time of tefila, she should do another Eon of all her body and her hair, shlo yitav r'chotzeis, there v'yino chatzitzav, tatiach v'y sastarim v'mayim chayim shulchum v'fil yantiv, and she should wash again her beis hastarim in water, even that was heated on yontif, if it is yontif, or like either the afternoon if it's yontif or the night if it's yontif. V'chein tatzah shenei v'tov, she should brush her teeth properly b'shas tefilah, shlo yishar p'rirum lobos lo etzem, to get rid of any crumbs or meat or bones, etc. Says the mechaber, like the Raivin. No, you don't have to keep your body clean. You'll do an Eon later and see if your body gets dirty. You just have to keep your hair neat, Because even if you do an Eon later, it won't help if your hair is all tangled. An Eon is enough for your body, but it's not enough for your hair. Says the Ramal, let's go back to Ramal. He says, Gam Tizar, Yom Shebena Chafifa Litvila, Mikol Tinofes. No, he's like the She'elto. She should also be Nezer in the days in between Chafifa and Tvila from old dirt. She'll yet go some Dothar. And nothing should stick to her. Gam Yis Tavshil, and even touching food. Omen Sinas and Le'akitana, we're feeding her little kids. Tizar hair. Am after Loli Zahir in Dvarim, she should be Nizar from sticky things if she can, meaning it depends on her lifestyle. If she needs to just touch sticky things and feed her kids, etc., then she should. If she doesn't need to, then she shouldn't. So therefore, he's more machmir. He doesn't say she absolutely. That we conclude. Let's say she can't be Nizar. She doesn't have servants or anyone to help out. She has to take care of the household. Or she has to touch her food when she eats it. Ain lach, it's not a problem. It's just if she can, it's good. But it's not really necessary. And come up in terms of the day, she should wash her hands every time she touches anything dirty, not to come to a chatzitza. So says the Rama, he doesn't say she absolutely has to be nizhar, but says the Rama, M'afshar, if she can, she should be nizhar. And if she can't, then it's okay. Halacha l'maisa, we Ashkenazim, who are Yotzim beyond Ramah, say, if a woman has to tovel in the middle of a 2 or 3 day yontif, she should do her chafifa before Shabbos or yontif, and then she should be nizer as much as possible, meaning on a need basis. When she needs to touch sticky things, she should. And when she doesn't need, she should avoid it. And she shouldn't go crazy. She should just be careful to keep her hair very protected. Because again, everything else you can iron and wash off. But the hair is not possible to untangle.
Is that something like someone should just have a ponytail, or should have like a series of ponytail holders? Like, how does, what's considered protecting the hair?
I think all the women know how to keep the hair from getting tangled. Yeah. That's one of those things that you don't have to explain to women how to do.
So you have
the humidity. Okay. Viter, okay, that's pretty much the halacha l'maisa. Zion is this famous machlokes between the Rabbeinu Meshulam and Rabbeinu Tam. And by the way, this is really a Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, or at least B's Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, or at least Yoredeya, general principle, sorry. What I mean is it's more than just Hilchos Nida you get to. What's the case? In Rabbeinu Meshulam's town, they had a funny thing. They couldn't tovel at night. There was an onus, they couldn't tovel at night. So what do you let them do? We let them tovel on the 8th day, Makom Onus, it's the Gemara. So what happened when it was Friday night? He let them tovel Shabbos morning. Okay, what's the problem? If they tovel Shabbos morning, they're doing two kulas. A, toveling during the day instead of at night, which is a kula. An allowed kula, but a kula. And B, being marche chafifa mitvila. Right? So they did chafifa Friday afternoon, and then 15 hours later, they tovel Shabbos day, and that's hachakas chafifa mitvila, which is also a kula. It's an allowed kula, but a kula. So Rabbeinu Meshulam says, no problem, we're stuck b'shas hachak. We use two kulas. A, we let you do chafifa and 18 hours later do tvila. And B, we let you tovel during the day. Seder, a time during Meshulam, nope, we have a rule. In a shasad chak, you're only allowed to use one kula, you're not allowed to do two kulas. And therefore, they should just tovel Saturday night. That's Rabbeinu Tam's principle. You can't use two kulas for a shasad chak. We find this many times in Tokos Esrei Heter, that the poskim assume that even if it's a hefsid meruba or something like that, you can use one kula, but you can't use two kulas in a shasad chak, only one kula. This seems to be an accepted principle, and we pass here like Rabbeinu Tam. In a place where they're afraid to tovel at night, you cannot be makel to chafifa on Friday afternoon and tevila on Shabbos day. Because we don't use two kulas at the same time. Obviously, you can use a kula Sunday and a kula Monday. I mean, you get one kula your whole life. That means simultaneously. One might say you can't take advantage of two kulas even if you're stuck. Right? What are two kulas? One kula to srachbita. Normally, your goes are not tovel during the day because of srachbita, and here we're makel, makamones. And two, kul darchak is chavina tefila. Normally we're machmir to do the chafifa right where the tefila, and here we're mako because it's efshar. So even though both those are mutter, but efshar separately, but you can't do kulas at the same time, and that's a generally accepted principle.
If we're like mixing and matching the kulas from different sugyos in shas and zorach, would the same policy still apply?
I think so. I mean, obviously, each case, you know, you have to judge each case on its own merits, and it gets complicated, but I think so. Okay. There. Okay, now the next six seifim, The rest of the simen is about a different case. So far, we've discussed how to do the chafifa, aleph and beis, and today, gimel, dalet, vav, zayin, when to do the chafifa. Now, ches through your gimel is what happens if you find dirt or, well, not exactly the same, but what happens if there's a pagam in your cleanliness? Does that ruin your chafi, your tefillah or not? So let's see. First, we'll start with ches. Ches is, excuse me, yeah?
What about the shop that Minhag mentioned in
Sifkat and what?
Yud Beis.
Oh, okay, good point. What about the shop Sifkat and Yud Beis? Which Minhag do you mean?
Like the woman who like would, I would throw this in on it. It's like, it seems like that they might push off there, going to the mikvah, I heard, because...
Right, that some places at a minhag that they wouldn't do a hefzikar on Shabbos, so that was unclear. Meaning they wouldn't do a hefzikar on Shabbos. Keep in mind, when they did their hefzikaras, they had to wash. Nowadays, women don't have to wash as much as they do the hefzikar because they're generally clean. But nowadays, they were all caked with dirt all the time. So to do a hefzikar, you have to wash. You can tell if there's new blood. So there's some minhag again. Is that because of washing on Shabbos, or because it's hobbling the next Saturday night and it being the evidence according to Rashi?
Which is how the Shabbos sounds like it includes, and also he doesn't like say that
right.
It's wrong.
So Lemaisa, we don't have that minhag doesn't exist nowadays. That minhag is died out.
Okay.
That minhag does exist. And it's an interesting thing that the Rosh Hashanah discusses, which I think is Roy to point out. He has a fascinating question there. Are you allowed to heat water? You know what the Gemara says? You're allowed to, I'm not going to get into contemporary applications now. The Gemara says you're allowed to heat water on Yontif to wash panav yadav v'raglav, which are routine things they would wash, but not to wash your whole body, because that wasn't shavu chol nefesh, that was only for rich people. Okay, Rav Shechter says, nowadays we're all like the rich people in the old days, and it is shavu chol nefesh, and you can heat up water on Yontif to wash your whole body, although there are certain gzeiras that are involved in how you do it, but let's stick with the old-fashioned days, right? The question is this. Is it that Chazal said you're not allowed to heat up water? Because the rule is you're only allowed to do malacha on yontif for things that are shovel chol nefesh, things that apply to everyone, not things that are only for rich people. So, did they say you could wash your hands and face and feet, but not the rest of your body? Or did they say you could wash part of your body and not your whole body? Right? That's the discussion. The shach here, nafkamina, is what if you only have to wash your private parts? Are you allowed to heat water for that on yontif? Okay, so that is the shach discussion here. This is discussed at great length in the Bir Halacha in Siman Tav Kof Yud Aleph 511 and in the Modern Day Poskim. Halacha lemaisa, the Mishabura goes back and forth many times, sounds at the end like he's not a lahakel, because he brings many Mishonim who say, you're allowed to heat up water, to cook water, to wash part of your body, just not your whole body. So if you need to just wash a few dirty parts for Hefzitara or for Hafifa, that would be okay. Halach lemaisa nowadays is even more mako because we don't actually heat up water to wash ourselves on yontif. We just open the hot water tap, which then heats up more water in the boiler, but that water gets used for all kinds of various things. And therefore, halach lemaisa nowadays, we assume you could turn on the hot water tap on yontif, assuming that it doesn't light a fire. It's not what we call Yonkers, or whatever they call that in America. What do they call Yonkers in America? Tankless water heaters, right? Assuming it's not a tankless water heater, you can turn on your tap of hot water on Yom Tov, and the Ray Force says, and brings out from the Modern Day Poskim, to wash part of your body, even if it's not your hands and face. So that could be relevant for either a woman who needs to wash herself for a hefzikara on Yom Tov, or for a woman who needs to wash some parts of her body in hot water before she goes to the mikveh that she got dirty. Okay, right. Sif Ches. Bimei Chol Bekoshkin Biyontif. Mchof Be'ina Atzma Hayom B'tavlo B'leil Yom Acher Also L'Tfila B'di Yeved Afish Lohayu Chafifu B'dika Samoch L'Tfila. If you did Chafifa and Iyon on one day and you tovled on a different day, then B'di Yeved, that's okay, even though it wasn't Samoch. How do we know that? Well, from the 2-day or 3-day Yontifs, right? If the Friday Shabbos Yontif, you can do chafifa on Thursday and total Friday night with a day in between. So that shows that b'di'evid, you're yotze if you have a day in between. Aval lo chafa klal lo also lo tefila. Afal pi she'ino ba'atma begufa. But if you didn't do chafifa at all, then your tefila doesn't count at all. Why? She's bechezkas iser, until proven that she toveled. If she didn't do chafifa, we don't know if she's clean or dirty. And therefore, even if she did ion, if the takana of chafifa in Yorban is ma'akev, that without chafifa we assume she might be dirty, and the tefillah doesn't count. Even if she checked herself and washed herself and combed her hair right afterwards and didn't find any tangled hairs or any dirt, lo also la tefila doesn't count. The answer is lomar chafim makom seiv lo ina b'shar gufush lo also la tefila she ina gufu dvar Torah. So if she did chafifa that ion, but the evidence doesn't count even if she's clean afterwards. And if she did ion without chafifa, doesn't count. If she did chafifa that ion, it certainly doesn't count, and she is not yotze. Okay, so that is, there are three cases here. What are the three cases? Let's do these three cases. One case is, lo chafa velo ina, or ina velo chafafa, or chafarosha velo ina begufa, right? Because we assume, remember, that me'ikr din, if you do chafifa, that counts as iyon. Remember that discussion, Sivitara and the Taz. So if she didn't do chafifa or iyon, or even she did iyon without chafifa, or even she did chafifa on her hair without iyon, then what do we say? We say that even the evidence doesn't count, even if, what does she find? What? Even if she finds herself clean afterwards. She checks afterwards and she's clean, then it doesn't count. She is still a nida. That's a big chiddush. Let her say, since I was clean afterwards, I was clean when I toveled. No. For chazakas to go backwards in time are not as strong. Just because she's clean now doesn't mean she was clean when she toveled. Maybe she just, she dirt fell off after the tefillah or was rubbed off after the tefillah. If she didn't do chafif before tefillah or didn't do iyon before tefillah, it's batel umevutel. Obviously, if she didn't do iyon, it's batel umevutel min haTorah. If she didn't do chafif, it's batel umevutel min haRabbanan. Then there's nothing to talk about. However, if she did, second case, chafifa v'iyon shelo b'samach l'tfilasa. She did chafifa, it's just one samach l'tfilasa. Then obviously that's good enough. B'di'evit. How do we know it's obviously good enough b'di'evit? Because we do it l'chachila on a 2 or 3 day yontif. So if we do it l'chachila on a 2 or 3 day yontif, it has to be good enough b'di'evit on a weekday. You shouldn't do it on a weekday. But you'd be yotze if it was a 3 day yontif, so yotze on a weekday. There is one sheet out there that disagrees, but that's common sense.
And if we already see a couple places that there are bonds here could be mafia to the other, so, well, I can't say the same thing here. I thought it was compelling, sorry.
No, because a Darabonin is not going to be evidence, but a Darabonin made an absolute necessity. If the Darabonin said, you should do it Samach, but on Shabbos and Yontif it's okay, then they didn't make an absolute necessity. Usually it's not marked to be evidence. The general rule is when the Darabonin said, do something, but you, if you can't, you don't have to, that means it's not marked to be evidence ever. Usually. Okay, so then clearly that's okay. Right? Clearly that's okay, because after all, that's what we do on Shabbos and Yontif. And obviously, if she did it the right way, Chafifa v'ina samach l'tfilasa, then it goes without saying that's okay. That's the ideal thing to do. Okay. The siftes. Bamed varma murim b'shayr kol haguf. Aval v'veis ha-starim kevan she'ein tzrichim l'bias mayim im lo ino sam kodin l'chein v'acharkach ino sam l'matzim shum dover also l'tvila, right? We already saw this. Where do we see this? This is a repeat from Siman Kuf Tzadi Ches Se'if excuse me Chaf Hey. This is a repeat from Kuf Tzadi Ches Se'if Chaf Hey that we said the same thing. This is talking about regular case, but what about, let's see, red equals
Beis Hasarim.
Beis Hasarim, even if she didn't clean herself beforehand at all, didn't do Iyum, didn't do Chafifa. She just found she was clean afterwards. That's good enough. We're making on Beis Hasarim. Why we were making on Beis Hasarim? If you remember, we said three svaras. We said three svaras back in Simchot Tzadiches. But I forgot, there was a fourth svara here in the Taz. So we should chazer, we have four svaras. What are the four svaras? One is the Achronim say based on the Ritva, because it's only Chotzeitz Midrabanan, right? Remember the Ritva says based on Stir is only Midrabanan against Tosos. So that's a Rumor Mekel, that's easy. Then there was the Levush and the Madani Melech, I think. We're quoting the Shach there. The Levush and the Madani Melech, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I can check if I'm mistaken fairly easily. Just turn to that page of the Shulchan Aruch. Kasav HaTer Zav HaMadani Melech. Because if there was a Chatzitza Beveis HaStarim, it wouldn't have fallen out on its own. Remember that svara? What's the chash? If I'm clean now, what's the problem? Maybe I was dirty when I tovel and then I rubbed something off afterwards. But you can't rub anything off your Beis HaStarim, or it's unlikely, because you don't reach your Beis HaStarim. It's hidden. And therefore, if there was anything on your Beis HaStarim when you tovel, it would still be here now. Contrapositively, if it's clean now, it must have been clean when you toveled. Okay, then there was the shach. Remember the shach was super lundish? The shach said lundus, right? He didn't really say. He said, because you don't need bias mayim, just royal bias mayim. And we explained the lumdus, that by regular skin, if you have a chatzitza, you didn't tovo. And therefore, it's a suffik tvila, you didn't tovo. By beis hasarim, you don't need to tovo the beis hasarim. It's a tvila with or without a chatzitza. It's just a tvila with a psol. Svade tvila and suffik psol, we assume there wasn't a psol. Okay, that's deep lumdus that has to do with, you know, the beginning of Halacha Shechita and Chulin Daf Ches, etc. Enough for us now. The Taz here gives a different svara. If you look at the Taz, he says here, sorry, says the Taz over here in Yod Aleph, he says it's not common to have a chatzitza. Uncommon to have a chatzitza at all. Why? Because since it's hidden, dirt doesn't get there. I'm not sure I agree with him in Metzius, but Beseder, that's his parish, and he's therefore he says you don't have to worry so much. We won't make him. Okay, either way, let's give it a little star. Okay, weiter. Sif Yud. Chafa ve'ina v'tavlo v'aliyasa nimtzol derechotzei. If you did chafif and iyon and tefila, and then when you after the tefila you found a chatzitza. You found a chatzitza after the tefila. An unexplained chatzitza after the tefillah. Right? You have no idea where it came from. So you have two choices. Either it mysteriously got on your body after you toveled, or it mysteriously got on your body before you toveled. There's no logical explanation. You did chafif and iyun. Your body was clean. Right? At 8 o'clock, your body was clean. At 8:30, you toveled. At 9 o'clock, your body had dirt. Either it came between 8 and 8:30 in a mysterious, unexplained way, or between 8:30 and 9 in a mysterious, unexplained way. So what do you say? Do you say, well, chazaka d'beikara, if I was clean, I stayed clean till proven otherwise? Or do you say, no, safek l'chumra, because, after all, I have the cheskas toma, so I'm tummy till proven otherwise. Okay, again, a lot of deep lumbus, we'll just stick with halacha l'maisa. The Gemara says one very clear thing that's very unclear. The Gemara says, okay, actually, the Gemara says something that's unclear in two ways. One thing the Gemara says clear. If the chafifa was close to the tefila, then it's more makel. If the chafifa is further away, we're more machmir. What is unclear? Number one, it's unclear what the getter of close and far away is. And number two, it's unclear, what do we mean by makel? What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, em chafifa. Here we have two lashonos. Anyone know when we have two lashonos, like, you know, lishna achrina, ikad amri, etc., what's the rule of psak? Which one do we paskin like? What?
Usually the latter.
What's the only problem in this particular Gemara? There's two girsas, which is first, which is second. So, Rashi and the Rambam have one girsa, and the Rashba and most Rishonim have another girsa. So, im chafefa biyom tvilasa, this is Rashi and the Rambam's second girsa, or im chafefa samoch litvilasa, this is the other Rishonim's girsa. And then, that's the first ambiguity. Is it during the day of tefillah, and then you have to figure out how to define the day of tefillah, or is it some of the tefillah, and then you have to figure out how to define some of the tefillah? So we have two ambiguities. Does it depend on the day or on samach, and how do you define the day, and how do you define samach? And the third ambiguity is, what does it end? What does it end with? Eina tzricha lachof velitbol shenis. Right? She doesn't have to do chafif and tefillah again. What are the two ways of reading this?
She doesn't do anything.
She doesn't have to do anything, or she doesn't have to do chafif and tefillah. Rather, just tefillah. Right? So what does she... What does this mean? Right? Does this mean she doesn't have to do anything? That's the pashut pshat, I think. Or does it mean, no, she has to tovel, but not do chafifa again? Yeah. Right? Now, what's the svaras? One svara is, right, this is the Rambam. And this is the other Rishonim. Okay. Yeah?
But the
Yisus
says, I think
the Rambam
actually had a different girsa.
Okay, and then it would be pashut. Okay. Now, what's the svara here? The svara for all the Rishonim is pashut. If she did her chafifa right next to her tefillah, close to her tefillah, we assume she was still clean when she's tovel, so she was yotzei. If she did her chafifa at a distance from her tefillah, then we assume that she might have gotten dirty between chafifa and tefillah, she has to tovel again. Says the Rambam, no, it's a safek. Midei safek lo yotzanu. It's a safek whether she was dirty when she toveled or not. Safek d'orais lo chomer, she has to tovel again. What's the only difference? If she did chafifa recently, she doesn't have to do another chafifa. If she did chafifa a long time ago, she has to do another chafifa. Okay, let's see how we paskin. Says the Mechaber. Chafva ve'ina v'tavla b'aliyasa nimtzol adar chotzeitz im betoch ona shechafva tavla eina tzricha tefila acheres v'imlav tzricha tefila acheres if she did chafifa in ear and then tovel, then after tefila, right afterwards, she found the chatzitza. If in the same ona of chafifa she toveled, meaning she was guilty of the sheltos, then she doesn't need to tovel again. And if not, she needs to tovel again. Says the Mechaber, first of all, he passed like the other Rishonim. He says, she doesn't need to tovel again. And which girsa is he passing like here? You might need the Beis Yosef to remember the Beis Yosef to help you out here. Which girsa? The girsa of Biyom or the girsa of Samach is he passing like?
Biyom.
He's actually passing like the girsa of Samach, and the Rashba defines Samach as Osa Ona. That's what he says in the Beis Yosef. Mechaber, and the Geder is Osa Ona. Now, I totally understand where Ben is coming from. Ben was brought, you were brought up Ashkenazic or Sephardic?
Ashkenazic.
Ashkenazic, so I understand where he's coming from. If you read the Beis Yosef, then you would say, he says, we pass like most Rishonim, depends on Samach, and what's the Geder of Samach? Same Ona. However, says the Shach here, echoing the Darkei Moshe, says the Shach here, echoing the Darkei Moshe. Says the Darkei Moshe, what do you mean? The Darkei Moshe says, oh, you know what, let's finish the Mechaber. Finishing the Mechaber, Ula Rambam, Benkach, Benkach, Tzricha, Tzvila, Cheres, El Shazoyim, Tzricha, Lachs, Lachs, Tzricha. Okay, he also quotes the Rambam. This is in the Mechaber. However, how do you think the Mechaber passes? Like the Rambam or the other Rishonim on this part of the board? What's the rule? Stam v'yishon. We pass like Stam, right? We pass like the other Rishonim. Okay, we'll come back to the Piskei Tshuva in a moment. Okay. Now, what's the getter of close? So the Mechaber says same ona. That's pretty easy. What does the Ramah say? Says the Ramah, afi shayse chafiva samach l'tvila, kigon shechafba v'yom samach l'erev, v'tav l'tvila zalayla, hol v'hayim shtei onos. Even if the chafifa was next to the tvila, like she was chofin the yom right before nightfall, and total in the nighttime, that's still considered distinct because it's two different onos. He backs up the mechaber. He says it depends on the same ona, different ona. Doesn't depend on any hours, notice. Just depends on the same ona, different ona. So, plus the Ramah agrees with the mechaber. But now something is a little funny. I have a handy-dandy footnote. Oh, okay, no, it doesn't say that. Fine, doesn't matter. now, however, here he attributes this to the Rambam side. What does the Shach say? The Shach says, actually, this is the opinion of the Rambam's Girsa. The Rambam's Girsa, if you look in the Beis Yosef, okay, you're all going to think I'm lying to you, right? You're polite, you're not going to say anything, but, what are we now? Sif Yud, what does he say here? He says, give me half a second here. The Kama, says the Torah, the Kama who's Samach, what's the getter of Samach, right? In the gears of Samach, what's Samach? Because of the Rashba, Shema Osa Ona Shechafa Tavla. Okay, the Rashba defines Samach as the same Ona. He's coming off, where does he get the same Ona? The Torah, the Beis Yosef, quoted from the Rashba as the definition of Samach. However, if you look in the Shach Sifkat and Tes Vav, he says that, is it Tes Vav? No. I meant Yudalid. This is based on the Darkei Moshe and hinted at in the Ramah. The Ramah hints that it's the Rambam who would say it depends on the same Ona. Ah, but what does he think the Rov Rishonim's Girsa means? Samach Mamash. Samach, right next to. Says the Shach. That says the Shach. That this, the Geder of this, is Osa Ona, which already was hinted at in the Ramah. He thinks the Girsa of Biyom means the same Ona. Biyom means Ona, Yom Olayla. And the getter of this is Samach Mamish. Each has a Chomer and a Kula. What's the Chomer and Kula? Let's say she did Hafifa at the nighttime at 5 p.m. and totaled at 9 p.m. That would be Osa Ona, but it wasn't Samach Mamish. Let's say she did Hafifa right before sunset and totaled right after Tzeis, that would be Samach Mamish, but it wouldn't be Ba'osa Ona. And how's the Shach Machriya here? It's interesting. The Shach's version of Yom Tvi Lasa is the same as the Torah of Beis Yosef's version of Samach. How is he Machriya? Exactly. The Yesh Lahachmir Kishtei Hadeos, and that is what we assume. We assume Yesh Lahachmir Kishtei Hadeos. You could only be Mekel if it was Samach and Ba'osa Ona. Which is, of course, the normal thing women do. Normally, women, either they do this minute kosher, starting their day, continuing in the night, or they just do it a little during the day and a little later at night, or they just do it at night. They do Hafifa, at least finish Hafifa at night, and then go straight to the Mikvah, straight to Tovah. So then, there would be Yotzi both days. But if you did your Hafifa, let's say it was Friday night, then even if it's Samach, your Hafifa was during the day and your Tefillah was at night, different Ona, then you could not be Mekel. Or let's say for some reason, you know, long break, couple hour break, then you could not be Mekel.
So
Friday night, you're in trouble.
So we go by the end of the Hafifa, not...
The end of the Hafifa. We go by the end of the Hafifa. Okay, so now let us just chazer halacha l'maisa. Let us chazer halacha l'maisa. What if she finds an unexplained chatzitza afterwards? What if she finds an unexplained chatzitza afterwards? So in this case, obviously it's no good. Even if she's clean afterwards, it'd be no good. For sure, if she finds an unexplained chatzitza, it's no good. In this case, it's no good if it's not samach, right? In this case, it is good, because that's the kula, even if she finds soon afterwards an unexplained chatzitza. If it was samach, it's okay. And what's the geder of samach? Geder of samach lemaisa equals samach mamish v'gam ba'osa ona. Now, even that kula is not so pashut, because who would disagree with even that kula, even with samach in every way possible? Who would still say it's usher? You have to tumble again, the Rambam. Do we hold like the Rambam or not? I was just in the diet that we don't. However, says the Pesach Tshuva, I am Jewish of Yaakov, Sheish Lahachmir Kara Rambam. But then I am in the back of the Sidri Tara, who takes on the Shav Yaakov, and says, Ma Pitom here. He says, Ma Pitom, this Shav Yaakov. He says, that's crazy. The Rav Zman says, Shifas Yachid against every other Rishon in the book. How can we machmir like a Shifas Yachid against every other Rishon in the book? And if you say, well, Derisas were machmir, after all, usually, how much of your body do you find a chatzitza on? Most of your body or a little?
A little.
A little. So it's a snake machlokes rabbanon das yachid against all rishonim. Says, you know what? You can find one other rishon like the Rambam. Give me a break. So therefore, says the Sidrei Tara, I can't accept the Shav Yaakov. We shouldn't be machlo like the Rambam here. And he makes up shari. He says, if it's easy, be machlo like the Rambam, but only if it's easy, right? So here he says, but al pi Sidrei Tara, which is more makel than the Shav Yaakov. In the Pesach Tshuva, Aval, Im, Kal, Litbol, Sheinis, Titbol. If it's easy to total again, she should do it like the Rambam. So Halacha L'maisa, here we say, this is the Halacha, and this is, if it's easy, she should be machmer like the Rambam. That's the Achra, this is the Tara in the back, right here, Allah Tara.
So I thought before,
okay, so then I misspoke.
Okay,
you could still attribute it to Cheskas Isra. Cheskas Tova.
Okay, and then what's the going back the other way? Why don't we say like there's a Cheskas Tuma?
Because there's a Cheskas Nekios from the Chafifa and the Eel. It's two competing Chazakas. The one she has Cheskas Tuma, the one she has Cheskas Cleanliness, because she's a Chafifa and Eel, and she's the Cheskas Cleanliness. So now, if you want me to go into more Eon than that, I'd say that's a wonderful thing to do, but I can't do it now. But that would be, that would obviously be more geschmack to go further into that, but I can't now.
What's together easy to be told again? Like, is it that if she stole the mikvah?
Yeah, if she stole the mikvah, or if she could go back and it wouldn't be a tircha for her. Basically, if she stole the mikvah, she should go back. If she's, now, where to draw the line, obviously, whatever I say, the answer is use your common sense. But it sounds like mamish, it's not like it's so serious, this Rambam. I mean, if it's easy, but like, don't, again, against the Shav Yaakov. Well, the Sidrei Tara said, Sidrei Tara overrides the Shav Yaakov. Okay, even though, it's actually interesting, if you look up the Sidrei Tara here, there seems to have been some slight, if I recall, if I'm not mixing this up with a different Sidrei Tara, yes, he says, Avi Mori, Adoni Mori Verabi, Hagon Balmachar Shav Yaakov. It sounds like that was his Rebbe. But Adoni Mori Verabi. But or maybe it was the Avi Mori Verabi. I don't know if it was father, or if it was the, or if it was just his Rebbe. So apparently he was willing, nonetheless, to be bold and take him on in this case. Okay, but he was willing to be bold and take him on because he really was convinced that we shouldn't be machmer like the Rambam. Okay, and the Maisa, we're not machmer like the Rambam. It's just like if it's easy. Okay, then the Rav Shmuel Zanvil Ashkenaz doesn't say. Okay, lo mashana. Viter.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm generally for Sabi Darabon Pulu. Here, though, this Darabon potentially Ma'akiv. Does that change anything?
No, that's what we're talking about. Okay, that's Tham. Sabi Darabon Pulu, even when it's Ma'akiv. Okay, now, hold on a second. The Kaz, I think, quotes one important thing from the Ran. What is the Shach? I apologize. What if she did Chafifa Shalom B'Samach and Iyun B'Samach? On the one hand, say Iyun B'Samach, she was clean. On the other hand, we don't trust Iyun as much if it's not with Chafifa, because you ever try to like check if something is clean? It's very hard if you're not cleaning it, because it's easy to like not notice things. So it's like the difference between reading something versus just scanning with your eyes checking for mistakes. Right? It makes a big difference. So, what if here you have, right, Chafifa Shelo B'Samach Ve'ina B'Samach? What about this case, right? 2.5. Right? So, here there's nothing interesting to talk about, right? Because in between two checks, the check. Hopefully you're following me. How about this case? Could you be Mekel? Right? Because we don't really hold like the Rambam. Or not. So here, the Shach quotes in the Ran, the Shachets of Kutten, and this will be important a little later on. Which Sivkutten would this be?
Tesvav.
Nope. Only if you did chafifa vidyun basama, which makes sense. The Gemara says chafifa. It doesn't say ima. Okay, that will be important a little later on. You'll see why. Fine. Yud Aleph. Bamed varma murim. Bishalonis aska ba'oso hamin. Achar tvila. What is this? Notice how he wrote on the board. It's an unexplained chafifa she found. Right? But what if she uses aska ba'oso hamin? I'm telling you, there are people out there who suffer from illnesses, who mamish, like I have seen with my own eyes, a call, phone call. I found like crumbs between my teeth. Is that a problem? Do I have to tovel again? When did you tovel? 2 days ago. When did you eat cookies? Today. And so, okay, so you might say, obviously this person needs some therapy. But you might say, well, Taka, they're right. After all, they found afterwards that you have to get into the Sugya, the Rambam, and the Samach, and the not Samach, the Osa'ona. No, that's ridiculous. We all know where these crumbs came from. There's an explanation. Right, this is all with an unexplained chatzitza. Right, I found meat between my teeth. Well, if I found meat between my teeth and I haven't eaten, then I know I have to tumble again. Like, that's just a fact. Right, I found dirt on me. I don't know when it came. Okay, but if I just, like, I come home and I finger paint and I find paint on me, then I know where it came from. It came afterwards, right? So this is only true if she wasn't this asik, but also menachar tefillah. Avon this aska bobing tefillah dika. If she specifically had this kind of thing, as this asik between tefillah and bedika, the ain atzricha tefillah chera. She doesn't need to total again. Shani tola oso b'min shenis aska bo, because we could be tola this in this type of thing. She was asik afterwards. Like classic example, if she came home and ate steak afterwards, and find steak between her teeth, she can assume it was from the steak she ate afterwards and not from beforehand. If she came home and she found mud on her feet and she stepped in mud on the way home, she can assume it's from afterwards and not from beforehand, etc., etc. But if she didn't do chafifa before, okay, before we get to that line. Okay, this is a big kula. Why is this such a big kula? Here, I don't have time to get into the sugya, but this is a mefurish brisa in chulin. What does the mefurish brisa in chulin say about a case where she tovel, then, like, touched that kind of thing, and then found a chatzitza? It actually says she's tmeya. It's no good. The only one brisa that deals with this case, and it says it's no good. So this is very funny. If you, Tosas has a now Tov, there's a long Tosas about this, and the... It's not like the Mechaber made up that it was okay for no reason. There might be 2 days in Tosus about this, that the Gra here thinks that, or maybe Tom says that's only for Taros, but for Vala he proves that it is good, and that's the Rosh and Taros of Bias. But this is very controversial. Very controversial. What about Miss Aska Be'osa Hamin? Be'osa Hamin? Umatza Aleha Davar Hachotzeitz. The brisa says she's tmeya.
Unless she says like bari, right?
Unless she's sure she was clean beforehand, correct. So if she says bari li, that's a good point. If she is not sure. If she's sure, what do you mean she's sure? She ate steak afterwards. After the mikvah, she went out to dinner and ate steak and found steak between her teeth. She says, I'm sure my teeth were clean beforehand. Then beseder. If she's sure, she's sure. And we trust her and she shouldn't second guess herself. What if she mamish has no idea? So misvara we don't think to be mako, because like there's an obvious explanation. However, the brisa says to be machir. So which way do we go? So this is a machlokas rishonim, right? The Taurus habayis, and maybe one opinion in Tosfos, like Rabbeinu Tam, says she is tahora. After all, of the brisa explicitly says mea, that's for taros. But for Baalah, she's Tahora, because it's such a good explanation. However, the Chidushi Rashba, right, that was pointed out by the Shach, and one day in Tosos and Pashas of the Rambam, however, the Chidushi Rashba, and a Yesh Omer in the Torah Habayis, right, it's not like, you can't ask, oh, how is there a steer in Torah Habayis was making the Chidushi Rashba's Machir? No, in Torah Habayis, what Yesh Omer was Machir? Just 1 year, he was like, thought there were two Yeshomers in Achriya Mor L'Hakel. When he wrote his Kedushin, it was Achriya Mor L'Hachmir. Like, that's an okay kind of changing mind. And the Rambam and at least one day in Tosfos, says she is Tamea. Why? Seems like a good explanation, but nonetheless, the Brisa says Tamea. This is, of course, similar to anyone who learned Hilchos Shechita, which we don't nowadays in Mar Yismicha, right? A guy who shechted and then chopped hard things with his knife, and then, of course, what's he going to find his knife afterwards?
Nix.
A nix, a pgam. We don't say, well, we know the pgam came afterwards, Shechita's okay, we say Shechita's puzzle. Why? Because the animal of Becheska's Isser, and you have to prove it was shechted properly. So here also, she finger painted afterwards and found paint. We know it's from afterwards. No, maybe the paint was on beforehand, and she was Becheska's Toma. So we can't think she's Toma until we prove it.
In cases where like the Shochi drops a knife or something and it lands on the floor, and then it comes a nick after, they're not Toma on that?
No, we're not on that. I think so. Okay. Anyway, alright. Now I'm not sure anymore. I don't have a Shulchan Aruch, but b'shas hadchak b'di'eved shalol l'maisa, you can trust the Ein Mishpat. Right, you can't pass with the Ein Mishpat. You can't even be sure. But, you know, when you, for you know, to say probably, you can probably trust the Ein Mishpat. So, where is this? This would be
the meme of Rapuna on the subject and being a third pair of kids.
Maybe you're right. It makes it sound like we are Mako there. Okay, we're not getting into that sugya now. This is complicated. Yeah, the Ein Mishpat is unclear. The Ein Mishpat is unclear. It's not really our topic at all. The Ein Mishpat is not 100% clear, which is fair. I mean, you're really supposed to look things up. You're not supposed to. He didn't mean for you to pass it from him. But yeah, but he meant for you to look it up. Okay. Anyway, you're right. The Rambam is makel in that case. Okay. Fine. We're not getting into that. Now, Lemaisa, this is let's see how we paskin. Paskin's the mechaber here, Lekula, right? He says if you have a teretz for what you nisaska afterwards, then it is okay, and that is exactly what the Torah said. Now, the question is, what case is he talking about? Right? So what about if nis'aska acharkach be'oso hamin u'matza chatzitza? Oso hamin means of what she finds. Right? If she finger paints and then finds and then finds crazy glue, that's not going to help. But if she glues and finds glue, or finger paints and finds paint, or cleans the chimney and finds soot, or v'chuli v'chuli, she puts on lipstick and she finds lipstick, then etc. And she's not sure. I mean, if she's sure, she's sure. She's like, otherwise ridiculous, right? She goes home and puts on lipstick. Ah, maybe there's lipstick before. No, she's sure she cleaned her mouth. This is only she's not sure and she's not allowed to be OCD. She's OCD, you have to be machmer in her and make her not total.
I just thought it was very interesting. Another explanation says that Ian Samkotfila is like bark.
Okay, so hold that thought. Hold that thought. Where'd you see that?
On the footnotes.
Okay, good. Okay, if you tell me where you saw it from. Okay, great. Okay, I saw it from someplace else. Fine, no problem. Obviously, he's not talking about this case. Because in this case, even if she found herself clean, it's no good if she didn't do chafifa. So obviously, that's not the case. And obviously, it's not talking about this case. Because in the case where it was samach, then even if she found an unexplained chatzitza, mechaber's meiko. So for sure, she found an explained chatzitza, so what must the case be? Obviously, the case is this. The case is where she did chafifa shalom b'samach. Then, if she was clean, she'd be okay. If she found an unexplained chatzitza, she wouldn't be okay. If she found an explained chatzitza, then she could be told on the chatzitza. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. On the one hand, the chafifa wasn't samach. She might have gotten dirty beforehand. On the other hand, she has a clear explanation how she got dirty afterwards. Therefore, we're mekel. That is the mechaber and the tor. And, oh, we should add the tor here. And he's Mako, like the Torah, and the Torah's a bias. However, the Shach holds the Bach here and goes on war against this Mechaber and says, no way, no how. Says the Bach and the Shach, nope, no such kula. No such kula, not allowed. No such kula. The, excuse me. No such kula. Ooh. Yeah. The no such kula. And after all, the Bryce says you're not makel. Maybe that's only for Tyrus. Okay, but it's a Bryce that says you're not makel. Chadusha Rashbi is very sure there's no room to be makel. Halacha lemaisa. We're makel like the Bach and the Shach. And therefore, we don't use this kula of she found something on herself afterwards and it's explained. Even if it's explained, and even though our common sense might, it might cause us to be a little more makel. Lemaisa, we're machber on this. If her iyun hafifa were not besamach, then even if she has an explanation for how the chatzitza got on afterwards, it's no good. You're right, it probably came afterwards, but it might have come beforehand, and your hafifa and iyun weren't besamach, so there's these nods that came beforehand, so we have to be machber.
If samach l'shitas v'shach,
that is a fascinating question. I'm not sure, although I think Lemais, I can solve this problem with what you quoted from the Teferis Lemosha.
Yeah.
Okay. It's also in the Sidrei Tara in the back. Sidrei Tara actually was further than that. The Badei Shofar quotes the Sidrei Tara is making much more than this. But forget about that. He's at least making this. So the Achronim say, Teferis Lemosha, you said, and the Badei quotes from this. I don't know if everyone has the same footnotes as Elchanan does, but I believe it's the first Lemosha, because it's a good Svara. They all say the following case. Hold on a second. Let's say a woman toveled on Friday night. It wasn't Besamach. Or on the middle of a 2 or 3 day Yontif. It for sure wasn't Besamach. And then, many days later, she ate steak. And guess what? She found something between her teeth, as you always do when you eat steak. Or many days later, she, touched paint, and she got paint, or whatever. You ask her, were you sure you were clean before you toveled? Not sure. Not sure. So she has to tovel again. I mean, aim it up herself. It's ridiculous, right? What's going to happen? This normally, say, it's your fault for not doing a besamach. What's going to be in this? It's ridiculous. Every woman who tovels on Shabbos or Yontif, it wasn't besamach. And she has a clear explanation for how she got dirty afterwards, and she's going to have to tovel again her whole life? Doesn't make sense. They all say, no. They all say the Achronin, that's if she did chafifa ve'ilon shalom b'samach. When you tovel Friday night, or on 2 or 3 the Yontif, you do chafifa shalom b'samach, but ilon b'samach. Ilon b'samach, that's as good as barili. Ilon b'samach is good enough. Well, therefore, I mean, there are different ways of saying it. The way the Sidrei Tara says is that the only reason we don't trust Ian Besamach is because Gloy Milsa, she didn't mayim properly. But here, there's no Gloy Milsa, she didn't mayim properly. She probably was mayim properly. And therefore, say the Achronim, Teferis Lemosha, and the Sidrei Tara, and all the Achronim. They say, but if the Ian was Besamach, that's good enough if she has an explained chatzitza. And therefore, even though we pound makra like the Bach and the Shach, there's still a nafkamina to have an explained chatzitza. The nafkamina is for chafifa shalom b'samach v'iyun b'samach. And if you say it's a rare case, no, that's a common case. Every Shabbos and Yontif is chafifa shalom b'samach v'iyun b'samach. So in that case, as long as you do your iyun b'samach, if you have an explanation for your chatzitza, you're good enough. And if you didn't do your iyun b'samach, you're just asking for trouble. Okay, that's halacha l'maisa.
Why would she like not be barili? Like, why can't you, like, you're saying, like, oh, how
can, or unless she's barili.
I mean, if you're saying that the case, like, oh, it's impossible, then why, after, like, 10 days later from Nas, that's the answer, is just when she goes to the mikvah in this scenario, they say, make sure that you're being valiant, like, on the shops, you know?
Right, and Hanami, I mean, that summit was reminded you think summit was don't. But there could be, like easily missable chatzitzas.
Yeah. My point is, like, if we're seeing that with Ian, it's not like covered it. But she's still not able to say barley. So, like, why aren't we saying barley for her, is my question. Like, why don't we either tell her, okay, in this situation, realize that this might occur, so we eye really well, so then she can for sure say barley. And if she doesn't say barley, like, what is driving her to say that she doesn't know?
No, because just because she did Ian doesn't mean she was barley.
That's what I'm asking. Like,
okay, so the difference is that you see, I prefer to say it this way. Really, we rely on Iyun Chafifa B'Samach without Barili. Why? Because we assume that her Chafifa is good, And we assume that if it was besamach, there was no time to get dirty in between. The only time she needs to say bar leaf, there was time to get dirty in between. She needs to be sure she didn't get dirty in between. So now, it could or could not be barley. Like, for example, let's say she did hafifa ve'iyun shalom. Let me go back to barley. She did hafifa ve'iyun shalom besamach. And then she found a string between her teeth, of meat between her teeth. If she's sure she didn't eat between the hafifa and the she's sure she brushed her teeth on the hafifa. She's sure she didn't eat between that and the tefillah. That's good enough for barley. So what I'm saying is you only need barley if it was shalom besamach. What if it's besamach? We trust. What do you need barley? You did it besamach. Right, you only need barley. If it's shalom besamach, then she might or might not be bari. Let's say there was an hour in between the hafifa and the iyun and the tvila. She might or might not be bari. You know, if you say you have crazy glue and you, I'm bari. There's no crazy glue between then and I wash my body properly. But if she found, you know, mud, then maybe she can't be barley that didn't stick on her then. You know, if she found like some random stuck thing, maybe they get stuck on her in the way and you never know what gets stuck on you. Okay, so that's what I think. I think that Lekuli Alma, if she says barley, it's okay. Lekuli Alma, if she says barley, it's okay. You're right. Let's add that. Barley is okay. And barley doesn't have to mean like an OCD barley. Barley just means, I'm sure I did a proper hafifa and my proper hafifa covers that. And I'm sure I couldn't have gotten dirty in between. Now, some might be easier to say than others. Like, you know, your fingers and nails, etc. It's harder to say barley. As well as I did, how do I know that I didn't get dirty in between? So it all depends, you know, on the circumstances. But you're right. We don't have to be machmir to get her barley. Okay. Last thing. Yes. Any questions?
Yeah. If she does an iyun after she gets out of the mikvah, and then after she finds something, because like the lashon of the machaber is that if you found something between bedikah and iyun.
Right. If you do iyun after the mikvah, and you're clean. Then if you find something later, you know it came later.
So then the proof then that, of the Torah...
But no one ever does that. Oh, the proof... the proof of the Achroni mean. Yeah, but they're proof for Minig Olam. People don't do Eon afterwards. Not from theory. Okay. Yud Beis. Bamed Varmum Rishar Kol HaGuf. Does this sound familiar to us, Yud Beis, by the way? This was just Simon Kuf Tzadi Ches Se'if Chaf Vav. Bamed Varmum... Oh, sorry. I didn't do the end of Yud Aleph. I apologize. Tell me what's wrong with the end of Yud Aleph. Avalam lo chafa kodem atvila, if she didn't do hafifa beforehand, ain tolimbo, you can't be tola on the nesaska b'oso amin. Afish nesaska b'oso amin. If she didn't do hafifa beforehand, you can't be makel even if nesaska b'oso amin. What's wrong with this sentence? What? You can't be makel even if she's clean. Obviously, you can't be told of osu amin. What's the chiddush? You can be told of osu amin. Even if she's clean, you can't be makel. That bothered all of the. that bothered all of the mafarshim. How many answers are there? The Shach has two answers, if I recall correctly. One answer is you're right; it's there for no reason. And the other answer is from the Bach. That what it means is, even if she did hafifa of her hair, but not her body, which is good enough in this case, says the Bach, but it's not good enough in this case. And the Taz gives a third answer. The Taz's answer, which is a big, the Taz says there's two levels of shalom besamach. There is an ona in between, and there is many onot in between, a whole day or two in between. And he says this is talking about a case where there's a day or two in between, and with the day or two in between, we are more machmir. So, halach l'maisa, what's this case in the Shulchan Aruch? Right? Case of lo chafifa kodem tvila vinis aska ba'oso hamin eina tola afilu ledas hamachagir. What's the case? We have three pshatim. One is the shach lo chafifa klal upashit. Didn't really need to say it all. Lo chafifa klal, of course. Second is the Bach,
chafifa sara v'lo gufa. B'dyeved, chafifa sara v'lo gufa is okay. Remember, we passed, it was only a minute to be chafif the guf. But you can't be tolo also a min. And three is the Taz, who says, chafifa kodem shtei onos o yoser, that the mechaber was only mekel chafa one ona kodem, like regular Friday night, but not two or more onos kodem. Okay, lemaisa, we would probably paskin like the Bach here. That would be a good shot. That if she was chofe for here, but wasn't chofe for body, then she can't take advantage according to Mechaber of this kula because she wasn't chofe for body. Okay, but that doesn't come up a lot. Let's go to Yudbeis. I'm Edvar Mishar Kolagof. I will base astarim, right? Gotta get my red marker. Base astarim lo ino so kodem tefila v'achar tefila gamkin lo ino adchus aska v'dover chotzis v'achar nintum yirus amin tolin lehakel. What about Beis HaStarim? What's the second kula in Beis HaStarim if she didn't do Ian at all, but she didn't do Ian at all on Beis HaStarim, and then afterwards, okay, this case obviously is an X. She didn't do Ian at all on Beis HaStarim, had an unexplained chatzitza, so it was obviously they were alone. What if she didn't do Ian at all, and then was osek in paint and found paint in her Beis HaStarim in a way that it couldn't gotten there? Then she could be Mako. Because Beis HaStarim is so Mako that even if you didn't do Ian beforehand, you could be Mako, and even if you didn't do Ian and find something afterwards, you could be Mako and told him what happened afterwards. Says the Shach here in Sifkat and Yotes, Ayin Le'el Simen Kof Tzadi Chesugat Nam Gimel Kasafi Dor Keach Cholek. The Achronim are Machmir here. That the Rokeach is Cholek, and the Achronim are Machmir in this case. However, says the Badei HaShulchan that in this case we can be Mekel and Beis HaStarim. Why? Because you have Tutzdad and Lahakel. According to the Mechaber, even in a if you were Chafa V'ino of Shlova Samach and then it's Askeba Oso Amin, according to the Mechaber, you're Mekel even a regular part of your body. Shach disagrees. According to the other Mechaber, you're Mekel even of Shlova Samach. But here you have two mechabers. If either the mechaber in Yud Aleph is correct or the mechaber in Yud Beis is correct, this is mutter, and therefore the Badei Shulchan and Mekel in that case. That's very logical. Okay, so that's about it for Halacha L'maisa. For this part, you're going to get a little slightly different. Halacha L'maisa then, let's review, if you didn't do anything beforehand, or if you did Chafifa without Ian or Ian without Chafifa, then... if you find something on your body, if you didn't do chafifa, or even if you did iyun, or you didn't do iyun, even if you did chafifa, you're dead no matter what. Except in a beis hastarim. In a beis hastarim, if you find you're clean afterwards, you're okay. If you find you're dirty afterwards, you're not okay. And if you find you're dirty but have a good excuse afterwards, you're still not okay according to the shach. What if you did chafifa v'iyun? Shalom b'samach l'tfilasa. If you find you're clean, you're okay. If you find unexplained dirty, you're not okay. If you find an excused dirt, the Mechaber says you're okay, but we pass like the shach that you're not okay unless it's based on starim when you are okay. If you do chafifa shalom b'samach iyun b'samach, if you find you're clean, you're okay. Unexplained dirt, you're not okay. Excused dirt, you're okay. And if you did everything b'samach, no matter what you find, you're always okay. Except... that if you find unexplained dirt and it's easy to hobble again, you should. Okay, this chart summarizes Se'ifim Ches through Yud Beis, and from this you can paskin, I think, any case that might come up. Yud Gimel. If there's no further questions, Yud Gimel. Chafa kodem tefilo, vein chafifa l'tefilo nes'aska dvar machotzeh. If this is a different case than all these, she did chafifa before tefila, and between chafifa and tefila, you touch something that could get sticky. Or you fed your kid food which could get sticky onto you. Anyone who's ever fed their little kid food, pretty much everything you feed your little kid can end up sticking to you. Lo also la tefila. Tefila doesn't count. Afilo b'bakta miyad achar tefila v'matzal shom dover chotze. It's even if you check right afterwards and don't find a chatzitza, it's still no good.
Shani Omer Bel Yasumi Amayim Nafu Mienu Tzricha Tefilei Cheres. Because I said maybe after you tovel, when you come out of the water, it fell off, but it was on you when you were in the water, and you need another tefillah. Basically, what's the Mechaber saying? Who's the Mechaber quoting here? He's quoting the Rashba and the Tur. And he thinks the Rambam would admit, although that's a big stretch, the Rosh says, no way. What's pshat? He says, if you did something dirty in between Chafifa and Tefillah, it's like not doing Chafifa. If you didn't do Chafifa, so let's just get one last case. What if Chafifa ve'acharkach nosna tamshil livna, and then you find yourself clean afterwards, says the, this is a machlokes. However, what's the machlokes? Says the Rambam, says the Rashba and the Tur. No good. Even if you find you're clean afterwards, we are very there's a good chance you got dirty beforehand, and even though you're clean afterwards, maybe you got dirty, you toveled dirty, and then it fell off after you toveled. So it's no good. Says the Rambam, you are good. What's the machlokes? The machlokes is whether you have the girsa here of whether this is. Remember, there's that controversial girsa, this is all for taros, but not for bala. And the Rambam thinks this is part of that girsa. It's only for taros, not for bala. The Rashba and the Tur think it's not part of that girsa. It's even for bala. What seems to be the machlokes? The Rashba and the Rush says we're really choshish for Suri's chatzitza. It's possible even for bala. The Rambam thinks, well, not so clear, but it sounds like the Rambam says, no, we're choshish for like a little schmutz, a little fat, a little oil. That's not really makbid. We're only choshish that something that you might have had something that's not makbid you didn't notice. We're not choshish that something was makbid. You would have noticed something that's makbid. We're only choshish that's not makbid. That's a chomer for taros. Beis Yosef wants to say the Rambam would agree that if you gave a sticky tavshel, he would agree. He was only talking about a non-sticky tavshel. Lemaisa, it doesn't matter. We pass like the Rashba in the Tur that excuse me. We pass like the Rashba and the Tur that if you know you did something dirty in between Chafifa and Tefillah, it's mevatel your Chafifa. Now you have no Chafifa. If you have no Chafifa, even if you're clean afterwards, no good. As the Ramah, what do you do in that case? B'di'evit, you need to feed your kid, what do you do? Says Ramah, just check afterwards, do an Eon afterwards. Mion Budka, Budka's Eon, Atzvakodon Tefillah, Russian Lim, Gushim Dover, Einatricha Tefillah Acheres. Says the Ramah, no problem, but if Chafifa Nasna Tavshil Livna V'oz Ina, you do another Eon, then it's no problem. So what should a woman do if she needs to touch something sticky in between Chafifa and Tefillah? She should do another Eon, and then she'll be okay. Adds her at the end, look, she's allowed to wear clothing between Chafifa and Tefillah, because clothing don't usually have sticky dirt. Meaning, it's not like we're like crazy OCD here, like you can't touch anything between Chafifa and Tefillah because there might be dirt. The only things that you know are generally sticky. Your clothing, some clothing has dirt on it, but it's not usually sticky dirt. She shouldn't hold a baby at all because babies are always dirty. This is a chazaka, as someone who's had 7 babies, Baruch Hashem, Leah and Hara over the years, all 7 of them have usually been dirty. with all kinds of sticky things that, many of which I'm not even going to mention what they are on yutorah.org. But, you know, not fit for the standards of the internet. But trust me, it's worse than you could possibly think. Anyway, so in between Chafif and Tefillah, you should avoid any things that might stick to you. Okay, we already know that from the 2-day and 3-day on, to avoid anything that might stick to you. And if you do have to touch things that will stick to you, then do another Eon afterwards and you will be okay. Okay, so much for halachas of Chafifa. If there's any other questions, if there's not any other questions, then I'll ask Ben to erase the board. And then we'll just have to see for machlokos, plus a few small details, in Siman Reish.
I feel like I have a chiyuv to actually erase the board now, but I know that's not really what our Rebbe intended.
Why can't you erase the board?
I did not intend for you to erase the board. I can erase my own board, I'm fine. Alright, Shem. When I get too old to erase my board, I'll call you. I'm not sure how I'll write on it then. But, okay. Kishepochetes Malbusha. By the time I get too old to reach the board, I'll just think something and a wireless go into your brain. So it's not a problem. Kishepochetes Malbusha. Kisheomete. Okay. So here's the question. The first big question is, everyone remembers, everyone as a kid learned like the first paragraph of Psachim or something, remembers this machlokas, right? Kol ha brachos kulan, kol mitzvahs kulan, revarch aleihem, two words?
Over
las yasin, except for one. What's the one? I don't tell me halacha l'maisa from your Shabbos meals. Tell me what it says in the Gemara, except for tvila. Tvila is the only one that's not over las yasin. Well, tvila is the only one not over las yasin. Why is tvila the only one that's not over las yasin? So, says the Rambam, you know what kind of tvila we meant? Tvila of a ger. And you know why he can't say the bracha asher kishadim etzvosav etzivanu over las yasin?
He's not Jewish.
He's not Jewish, and he posed etzvosav etzivanu. So a ger makes the bracha afterwards, but everyone else makes the bracha beforehand. Therefore, the Rambam says everyone else makes the bracha beforehand. Not only that, Netilas Yadayim also, which is similar to Tevila, makes the bracha beforehand, right? I think they say the Rambam made it. Held like the Rambam made the bracha before Netilas Yadayim, unlike the Minhag Olam, if I recall correctly. And I heard Rav Shachter does also. Okay, that's a true fact? True fact. Okay. So, Chutz Min HaTevila. The exception is toveling. Says the Rambam and the Gaonim, and who else is in the Beis Yosef here? Let me see if I can remember who else is in the Beis Yosef here. The Rif and the Ravid and the Rush. And the Rush means chutz mitvilas ger. But nida is mivarechet over lasiyata. However, says Rashi and the Mahag and the Ri. The Ri had a little asterisk. Why? Because the Beis Yosef, who hates the Shita, said the Ri didn't really hold that way. He just said some are knowing that way and we could justify it. Okay, but I think the Ashkenazim understood. The Ri said, we're knowing that way, and that's okay. So, they say, nope. Kol tvila. Kol tvilos. All tvilos. Mevarchim achar asiyasan. All tvilos mevarch achar asiyasan. Why? After all, you're Jewish beforehand. So, what's the main reason they give? As a low plug. As a little plug, they made the Bechon Tevila Achar Asiyasan. There's some Achronim saying maybe also because it's more Mohudr and Mivarech Batara. Even though it's explicit in Brachos that, like, Anita is allowed to say Brachos. But, against that later in the Ashkenaz, we still hear him say Yom Hashem. But, okay, maybe it's more Mohudr, maybe it's a little plug, add that it's more Mohudr and Mivarech Batara. After all, it can't hurt to be Mivarech Batara if you're totaling anyway. Therefore, the Rav understood this. The Rav, interestingly, he was very committed to the Rambam here. You have to over las yasin. Ah, he said. You can't do it afterwards. After it's too late. It's yesterday's news. It's not significant anymore. So how does he explain the Minhag Ashkenaz? And for that matter, Ger. He said, because this bracha is not on the Maisa mitzvah of Tvila, but on the Totsah of Tara, on the Chalos Tara. Since the bracha is on the Chalos Tara, it's still over las yasin because you're still tohar. Every second you keep being tohar, so it still is ought to be chalon. So interestingly, the standard analysis that for the other Rishonim, the bracha goes on the future. For the Rashi and the Mahagi goes on the past. The Rav says there is no bracha on the past. For the other Rishonim, goes on the mice in the future. And for Rashi and the Mahagi, it goes on the chalos tara, which continues into the future. Okay, but that's lumdus is not for now. Halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? Halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So, yeah.
Isn't that also like good because if you say that
tefillah
is not mitzvah?
Correct. So even if you hold that tefillah is not mitzvah, so what do you make a bracha on? There is no mitzvah to tovel. Unless you just say there's no mitzvah to do bismana. There's a mitzvah to do it. But you're right, the easy thing is like the rub. We're not making a bracha on the mitzvah to Torah, we're making a mitzvah on the chalos tvila. Similar to the famous taz about shchita, that it's not on the mitzvah to shech, because there is none, but on the chalos heter. Okay, you're right. Let's see how we paskin. Says the Mechaber, Shephoshethes Mabusheha, when she takes off her clothing, Shomez Bechaluka, and she's still in her underdress, under tunic, meaning she's in her last layer of clothing. Tevarech, why shouldn't she make Asher Kishem Zotzvon Ma'ala Tvila? The Tipshachaluka can take off her last underclothing and Tovel. Why not make a bracha before she takes off any of her clothing? Because. No, why not make a bracha when she's fully dressed? Because you need overlap, see, also not over to over. It has to be right before, not a lot before. So she can't keep all her clothing on and make the bracha, because then it's a big hefzik. Why can't she make a bracha when she's naked? Because everyone knows you're not supposed to be when you're naked. Well, you're a chayav zavar. So what's the compromise? She has to make the bracha when she just has on one layer of clothing. Good. Viter. Then she makes the bracha on tovel. Then lo bracha az. What if she forgot to make the bracha when she was still clothed? Tevarech lach, she's going to shore mine. She could still do over lasiyasan. If she goes up to her neck in water, she still hasn't tovel yet, right? It's still over lasiyasan. But isn't it still nakedness? No, it's dirty water. So the dirt covers her nakedness. What if it's clean water? Then, ochartan bragleha. What does it mean, ochartan bragleha? How do you dirty water with your feet? It doesn't mean dirty. Well, it's actually, big mouth goes here. Does it mean kick up mud? Or does it just mean make the water? You know how, like, if you go like this in the water, it will still be clean, but it won't be see-through anymore?
Right.
Well, agitate it? If you agitate water, it's not see-through. So it's a big machlok zachron here. Does he mean kick up dirt, or does he mean just agitate it so it's not see-through? Most zachronim assume he just means agitate it so it's not see-through.
Really? Even the language
of Quran means? Yeah, it's not on the... Do you have a footnote about this? You seem to have good footnotes. You must have a footnote about this. I don't have anything about this. You must have a footnote, no? Someone show them where it is. Where's my what's it called?
Huh?
I didn't write down. What? Do you have a footnote about this? Someone's got to have a footnote if you have fancy schmancy. What? No, nothing. What am I supposed to do? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Here it is. Here it is. It says the Mishnah Brura. Siman Ayin Dalet Sukkot Yud Aleph. Says, it's not quite a Machlokes as Acharonim, it's not quite a Machlokes as Rishonim. It's in between. The Magen Avraham says it means only if there's dirt on the bottom, you kick it up and make it dirty. And the Or Zeruah says that even if there's no dirt on the bottom, you just I'm adding the Hesper. He just says the Mishnah. The Magen Avraham says only if there's dirt, and the Or Zeruah says even if there isn't. The Magen Avraham says it means you kick up dirt to make it dirty. And the Or Zeruah says that no, you just agitate the water and make it, what's the opposite of transparent? Make it opaque, that's the word I was looking for. And make it opaque, make it not see-through anymore. Okay, so if you want to know the Machlokas, Mishnah Brura, see, I don't need your fancy footnotes. The Mishnah Brura, Siman Ayin Dalet, Sif Katan Yud Aleph. Obviously, I'm cheating here because I know the entire Siman Reish is really Or Chaim. It's really not your day in Yonim at all. It's all Hechos Brachos. So, and most of it's in Siman Ayin Dalet.
Didn't she crouch and that be sufficient to cover herself? Like, sit on something?
No, she'd have to, like, press her erva down to the ground, and then that would not be so
good.
What are you can't tumble in a chair.
No, but, like...
She's in the water.
I think she'll fine. Okay.
She's in the water. If she wasn't in the water, she could just put her clothing on. But the problem is, if she accidentally went in the water without making a bracha, we're not going to triach her to go out and put her clothing on. It's okay to say the bracha inside and just dirty the water. Okay, notice there's two different halachas in this mechaber. Number one, his shita that erva. Number two, his shita that erva. Number one, his shita that over lasiyasa. Which the Dharma argues? The Dharma argue about erva or about over lasiyasa? What? Over lasiyasa says our aviyash omer shlo tabarach an acher tefillah. She said dafka say it afterwards, like everyone but Rav Shechter does when tefillah shadayim. V'chein no again menag ashkenaz is afterwards. Shall acher tefillah ba'odo omedes tov hamayim after tovling. Right afterwards, right? Not when she gets up and gets dressed. Right afterwards, when she takes her head out of the water. Now she's done the tefillah. Mechasas vigdo b'chalukah. She covers herself with clothing and makes a and makes a bracha. Okay, so first machlokas here is... this is machlokas number one, is that over lasiyasa it says the mechaber, and this is minig sfard, do it over lasiyasa. Says the Ramah, minhag. Says the Ramah, old minig ashenaz, do it afterwards. However, the ber hetev, notice there's a parenthesis in ber hetev, always check for parentheses in the ber hetev. Remember what a parenthesis in ber hetev means? It's not a shakunataz. Kotza shla. Says the shla, you should tovel twice. Tovel once, then make the bracha, then tovel again, and you're yotzei both deyos. It's your yotzei Ramah, it's after the first tefillah, and your yotzei the mechaber, it's before the second tefillah. That is real minig ashkenaz. Real minig ashkenaz is, however, the shla, and this is minhag of sfardim. This is minhag ashkenaz nowadays. No one does like the Ramah. We all do like the shla. The shla says, tovel once, bracha, and tovel again. And then you go to both deos. There's a long Dogel Ervava here who points out that it doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't it make any sense? Once you tovel once, the second tefillah is meaningless, and you're not really yotzei both deos. There's no... It's not over lasiyasan to do before you tovel a second time. That's halachically meaningless. And then he comes up with all the pilpulin here. Maybe it would work if you just assume this, that, no. Basically, he concludes there's no possible way to make sense of the shla. I am modeh that I'm no smarter than Dogel Ervava. I haven't figured out how to make sense of the shla. But nonetheless, concludes the Dogel Ervava that, okay, you don't necessarily, just because you can't make sense of the shla doesn't mean you're willing to mess with him. And the minhag olam is like the shla, even though we can't make sense of the shla. What good does it do to do over lasiyasa the second time? The second time's meaningless. Nonetheless, the minhag is like the shla, and ad hayom hazeh, the baseline minhag sfard is to make a bracha and then tovel once. Baseline minhag ashkenaz is to tovel once, make a bracha, then tovel again. What if a woman had one of these weird chatzitza things and kind of ear, etc., and it was dangerous to tovel too much? Then she would just do like the Ramah, tovel and then make the bracha, because that's the ikar minhag ashkenaz. And this is for Ashkenazi who can't get wet twice, right? Let's say she has one of these weird cases, the cotton balls, etc., and if she dunks twice, it could be dangerous. So then she should only dunk twice, once and forget the shla, because we really hold like the Ramah. All right, so therefore, sometimes we do like the Ramah, Sfarim would always do like the Mechaber, and mainstream Ashkenaz do like the Shlach. There are other minhagim out there, I'll be sold. There are, as a very common minhag, to tovel three times. Among Mekubalim and Sfarim, there are those who tovel seven times, and really the sky's the limit. You know, there's seven sevens, and there's, you know, etc., etc. I don't think anyone does seven to the seventh power to the seventh power. But anyway, the Lemaisa, there are many minhagim out there. Everyone should follow their minhag, I'll be so, meaning, if someone says, my minhag is total three times, that's a very, very normal minhag. It's just, you know, not the halacha, but that's a perfectly acceptable minhag. If someone says, my minhag is total seven times, that's a perfectly normal minhag. Someone's minhag is total 49 times, that's already only for Yechidei Skula, and she should go last, not to be ma'akiv with everyone else. But there are three as a very common minhag, and everyone should do whatever their mother did, Seder. Or, you know, whatever, somehow they follow. Okay, but on halacha, it's either one or two.
Can we explain the shla that if she, with her kavana, like we said earlier, that...
That's what the Dogel Ervava tries to work out. You don't have a Dogel Ervava on your page?
Yeah, I have a little why I don't have it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I apologize. There's something called Dogel Ervava Tinyana, meaning he went back and added more to the Dogel Ervava. In this edition, they put it on the page. In your edition, they put it in the back. Okay. So, because you have a Tzuras Hadaf edition, right?
Yeah.
In the Tzuras Hadaf, it's in the back. Mine is a non-Tzuras Hadaf edition. It's on the side. So if you look in the back, there's something called Dogel Ervava Tinyana. It's just an authoritative verse, Dogel Ervava. It's just he wrote something. He wasn't writing a Halacha book. He's just writing Ha'aris. He wrote some Ha'aris. Then he learned again. He wrote more Ha'aris. They're equally authoritative. So in the Dogel Ervava Tinyana, I apologize, says Tinyana here, he asks, he goes through that and shows why it's wrong, and I don't have time to tell you why now. Look in the back and don't know. Okay, Viter, we just have to do three quick things. And I apologize, since it's the last year, then there's an ancient rule that you're allowed to go as long as you want. Just not past Chatzos because of Kriya Shema. But no, there's only like the three or four more things I have to say. Number one. Oh, look at this. I did have that mug of ramen or were written in my notes. Okay. So that's okay. I knew where it was anyway. What? It could be. Could be Meduk like the I don't know. Or you could say Adrava, only your raglayim could touch the dirt. Otherwise you would have said your hands. It's like the mug of ramen then. Okay, could be. Could be. It looks, we'll see, it's not Solomaisa. Okay.
Considering you thought you might have been proving the exact opposite approach, then shouldn't that be a sign enough that it's not...
No, because I was just being polite. I didn't really think it made sense. Okay, next issue is, in terms of nakedness, how many, this is what the Achronim point out, hopefully if we read one line of anyone here, we know the answer to this question, how many different shilas of nakedness are there in this siman?
Two
totally different halachas. I mean, obviously, they have something in common. What are the two different halachas? One is Liboros Erva. Even though I can't see the Erva, my lathe can see the Erva. That's a case when nowadays not so shyif to men, or women also, we have underwear, etc. But in the old days where men and women both didn't have underwear and just wore dresses, so if I didn't put my belt on, my lathe could see my Erva. Right? Liboros Erva. The other issue is, which the Taz says is much more serious because it's Doraisa, is seeing the Erva, lo yirbacha Erva's davar, is you seeing the Erva, or even if you close your eyes, meaning your Erva being visible, what?
Right, or being exposed.
Yeah, your Erva being exposed. Okay, so here there are two different issues. One is Giloy Erva, right? Velo yireh becha Erva Stavar. And the next issue is Libo Roa Es Ha'erva. Now, Giloy Erva, who was very worried about Giloy Erva? By the way, does it seem like the Mechaber and the Ramah were worried about Giloy Erva or about Libo Roa Es Ha'erva? Let's say the Mechaber. Because what did the Mechaber say? She's wearing her chaluk. What's a chaluk?
It's like a straight thing. There's no point.
It's just like an inside dress, right? An underdress. Okay, her lave is Rosa Erva. He seemed to only be worried about, which, I mean, is his psakins of a $9 anyway. So who's worried about Giloy Erva? Who's very worried about Giloy Erva? The Drisha. And the Taz and Dayak from the Taz. Here says the, that Taz and Dayak from the Rush, sorry. Says the Rush. Kethi Shapirish Hataz, Bataz. And Mefurish, the Drisha, is worried about this. And the Mashmos of the Mechaber. I think this is the Mashmos of the Mechaber. Right? They say she must cover her Erva. What are the two options how to cover her Erva?
Clothes or dirt?
Either clothes, or
opaque water.
Good. Opaque water. We'll leave that a little unclear. Does it have to actually be dirty, or can it just be frothy? Frothy is a good one, right? Kiyonim alafiki mayim yoshv yo rochatzos bechalav yoshvos al milais. What are the yonim alafiki mayim rochatzos bechalav? You ever see doves washing themselves in milk? Where did they get milk from? And why are they washing this in milk? So, what's Pashim shot in the Pasuk and Shir, we know Shir, right? What are Yonim alafike mayim rochatzos bechalav? How do they wash themselves with milk? They wash themselves in the frothy water, which looks like milk, because you can't see through it and it looks white. Right? Okay. Shuda shal mikra. It's an infarshim. And there are different sheets in the Farshim, but this is the mainstream one. Okay, anyway, so she must cover her Erva. However, who disagrees vociferously?
The Shach and the Taz.
The Shach and the Taz, and they quote a Ramah in Or Chaim, Simon Ayin Dalet Sif Bey, says the Ramah, If a man is standing and his heart is above the water, even though his erva is naked in the water and it's clear, it's mutter. Clear water is no problem. So, says the Taz and the Shach and the Ramah in Orachayim, Siman Ayin Dalid, Sif Beis.
The Ramah here seems
to... The Ramah here says the minhag is differently, true. But the Ramah there says the din is, I understand, says, nope, she doesn't. Or better, what's he saying? It's not that, of course you have to cover your erva, but what counts as covering her erva?
Clear water.
Counts as covering erva. Why does clear water count as covering erva? Because the clear water is like a different realm, and you see what's above the water. You don't necessarily see what's in the water. We don't naturally look what's under the water. Therefore, it's like a different realm. It's like a cover. The Achronim say she shouldn't look, or a man who's saying the shakel and drinking beer or something or whatever it is in some Ayin Dalet. No water, probably. You should always, in the Shvitz, it's very important, don't drink alcoholic beverages, but do drink water. Otherwise, it's very bad for your health. Meaning, drinking water is good for your health. Drinking alcoholic beverages is very bad for your health if you're in a hot tub. Okay, so always drink water. Say shakel and water. And don't drink nothing. Drink water. but it counts as covering erva. You don't look in the water because it's a different realm and you normally see things that are above the water, not that are in the water. Okay, that is a mefurish ramah over there. How do we paskin? Clear water counts as covering erva, and don't look down at the time. And therefore, that counts as like in a different reshus if it's under the water and not someplace that's normally seen from above the water, and clear water counts as a covering. Okay, how do we paskin? This depends on who we are. This is the minhag of Sfardim. Is like the mechaber here. The minhag of Sfardim is that you have to be dressed when you make the bracha. And if you happen to be in the water, you have to dirty the water. However, we Ashkenazim, minhag of Ashkenazim is not to be machmer on this at all. The standard minhag of Ashkenazim is that a woman makes the bracha when she's up to her neck in water. She doesn't chashol make the bracha when she stops standing naked. No, that would be like Yerba Ha'erva's daughter. When she's up to her neck in the water and her erva is below the water and her face is above the water, she makes the bracha and doesn't worry about the erva because the clear water counts as a separation.
The Ramah clearly says
that it's a cover. Even though the Ramah says, Chei again that they would mechasev vigda o b'chaluka, that efshir me Ramah nagu kein. But nowadays, we do not have that minhag. Already by the Drisha, which was very soon after the Ramah, no Ashkenazim had that minhag. So again, even though the Ramah says the minhag of an Ashkenazim was to put a clothing, it's also not clear how they put their clothing when they're in the water. Like a bathing suit? Unclear. Nonetheless, the minhag of Ashkenazim is not that way, unlike minhag Ashkenazim from shortly after the Ramah, Ad Hayom Hazeh. Again, obviously, I'm sure there's someone in Pabrusco who does everything, but no Ashkenazim that I know of are makbid on this.
I just wondering about the, like, don't look down and the water. Like, you need both?
Like, L'chore, you need both.
Okay, if let's say it was dirty water. Okay.
Then it doesn't matter. Okay. Okay, Viter. Second issue, what about Libor Rosa Erva? Who is worried about Libor Rosa Erva? What? The Drisha and the... No, not the Drisha. He was already Gilei Erva. Davka was not.
I thought he was already there too.
He Davka wasn't. That's why the Bach killed him. The Bach. The Bach says that this Isser is Shayach Leisha. That's the basic machlokus. Do women have an Isser of Libros Erva or not? What's the obvious reason? I'm not going to go into too much detail now, but we all know the man's Erva is a little more visible from his lathe than the woman's. And therefore, maybe the woman has the Isser of Libor Rosa Erva. So the Bach says the Isser is Shayach to a woman. And therefore, even if your whole body's under the water, if your lathe and your Erva are both under the water, it's a problem. However, the Drisha assumes not that way, and this is, and the Shach and Taz, Rivid, Kefi, Shapiresh, B'Shach and the Taz, Basically, the Raavad and the Rush say she has to cover themselves. Shachan does explain, the Rush is for one reason, the Raavad is for a different reason. However, the Orchas Chaim and the Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber and Ramah. In Siman Ayin Dalid, Se'if, where did I put my Mishnah Berurah? Here it is. Yesh v'sh'omer sh'anashim, yecholos levarech, etc. have no problem. That was Se'if Dalid. Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Ayin Dalid, Dalid. And the Mechaber here who says Choluk, right? The Mechaber here. And the Drisha. And the Shach. And the Taz all say, Eino Shayach Le'isha. There's no problem, Lirosa Erva, for women. There's no problem. And we paskin that there's no problem, Lirosa Erva, for women. Therefore, may Iker Adin, a woman go up to her neck in the water. Her face and the outside world doesn't see her Erva because the clear water counts as a covering. Her lave sees her Erva because they're both underwater. But that's okay. There is no problem with Libra's Erva. Halach Lamaisa, there's no problem with Libra's Erva for women. However, this is for the... Yeah?
When we say Erva here, it means Davka like that.
It means Davka, the genitals. Yes. And same for Lo Yerbach Erva's Dovar.
Even though for a woman, there's a lot of...
Even though for a woman, there's more Erva, but for herself, it's only the genitals. Not the for men, obviously. Okay, this is the Iker Hadin. However, says the Mishnah Brura in Siman Ayin Dalet, Sivkotin, Tezayin, he says, well, the Bach is Machmir, and we don't pass like the Bach, but... It's nice to be machmer, says the Mishnah Berurah. And remember, the Drish said the minute was to be machmer. But this is a chumrah lechatchila. Who says so? The Mishnah Berurah, Ayin Dalid. What Sivkotin did I say? Tezayin. No, that was the other Mishnah Berurah. Tezayin. And the minhag... As quoted in the Drisha. Remember the Drisha quoted the Minhag? How are you, Machmir? You couldn't muddy up the water or kick up the water, but that's not what we do. you could keep her heart out of the water when she makes the bracha, but that's not what we do, because that's also a little less respectful. The how al-yaday al-yaday chibok zro-oseha tachas liba. What does she do? And this is the minhag of Ashkenazim nowadays. Al pidin, it's not necessary. It's just a chumrah. Right? If someone doesn't do it, they haven't done an avera. But most women do. They go like this. They go down up to their neck in water, then go like this, separate their heart from the erva, and then say the bracha. That's standard minhag Ashkenaz. You don't strictly have to. It's only a chumrah. But most Ashkenazic women I know, the college classes I've heard of, they all teach the women to go like this, neck in the water, go like this, and then they're so in the end, Ashkenazim are not really makbid on Gilui Erva, but we are makbid on Liberosa Erva as a Chomer L'Chachila. Okay.
I guess we have to emphasize on the shoulders that after they get into the water.
Yeah, obviously they go to their neck in the water, right. Go up to their neck in the water, so the water covers their Erva, and they go like this, so their lave won't see the Erva, which is only Chomer L'Chachila, and they're okay. Well, obviously.
Right, nowadays you would
Tovel, then take your head out of the water, go like this, say the Bracha, and then Tovel again. Yes. That's the minhag of Ashkenazim. One or two more things that I just have to point out. The Pesachei Truf Sukkot and Gimel is a tremendous machlokas because I won't go through all this far as now. He brings down a bigger problem. The bigger problem is, hold on, what is a mikvah? A mikvah is a beis hamerchatz. Forget about Erva. You're not allowed to say a bracha in a beis hamerchatz even if there's no one naked. Remember the Beis Pnimi, where the actual pool is? Why? Because the Mokum Zumam, it's a dirty place, even if no one's naked. So what about the fact that Beis HaMerchatz is also say a bracha, even if you're wearing clothing? Says the Pesachei Tshuvos of Gatan Gimel, in the name of the Prima Gadim, and the Machzor HaShekel, who are Mesufak, and in the name of the Yamitz, the Morak Tzia, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he says, can't make a bracha in the mikvah. Can't make a bracha in the mikvah. So, says the Morak Tzia, that's the parish of the Yabes or Viago Emden on the tour, and Suffolk in the Prima Godin, and the Machzis HaShekel. The Machzis HaShekel is a super commentary on the Magen Avraham in Or HaChaim. Say, Aser Levarech Toch HaMikvah. Forget an Erba, because of Beis HaMerchatz. Is that what it sounded like for the Machaber Ramah here? Hold on. Have to take it back. The Machaber and the Ramah, we're talking about a regular mikvah. A regular mikvah is not a Beis HaMerchatz. What makes it a Beis HaMerchatz? This Pesach Tshuva? What if? What?
Zaya.
What?
Zaya, like the steam?
The hot water. Yeah, right. Hot water. Right? So this is only if it's heated. If it's heated, people schwitz. In the days of Machaber and Ramah, it wasn't heated. There's no problem. Everyone agrees you can make a bracha at the beach. But a heated is a Beis HaMerchatz. If it's heated, says the Mortzia, made the Prima Godin Mechaz HaShekel Amr Sufek, that you can't say a bracha. In which case, this whole thing is irrelevant. You can't say a bracha in the room. Says the Mishnah Brura, Simon Pei Dalet, Sukkot and Dalet at the end, V'hani Mikvos Ha'omdem, sorry. But mikvah sheshofo mayim chamin, yesh lomer deish v'hevlo, mikol mokum, ef shalomer de'em azum, v'havlo kol kach mo v'merachatz. You could say it's not so dirty like a merachatz, says the Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura, pei dalid. Dalid? I think that's what I said. Yeah? He says ef shalomer, but that's his, seems to be his maskana. He says, no, mutter. Shein bo hevel vizuama kemo merchatz mamish. And if you look in the Echronim, there's 100 svaras. Like, number one, it's not really as hot as a regular merchatz. Number two, what's the obvious reason a mikvah is cleaner than a merchatz? You only go to the mikvah when you're already sparkling clean. You go to the merchatz when you're dirty. You go to the mikvah when you're clean. And the merchatz, you stay a long time in shvitz. The mikvah, you go sparkling clean. And then you only tovel very briefly, and you don't have time to shvitz, and then you go out. So how can it get so dirty? Halacha lemaisa, what do we do? The minhag of Svardim is to be machmir. And therefore, the Svardim don't do like this machaber in a hot mikvah. In a hot mikvah, they will only make the bracha when they're dressed beforehand and in the next room. They'll only make the bracha in the hallway. So what a Svardim will do is she'll wear one clothing, make a bracha in the hallway, and then go in and tovel. Ashkenazim are not worried about this. Meaning Ashkenaz is, we don't worry about it, we make a bracha in there. So we have so many differences. They make before, we make afterwards. They make clothed, we make naked. And for Liros Erva, Lechachilo, we go like this. And they make in the hallway, and we make in the mikvah. One last machlokas. It's not on this daf at all. The Ben Ish Chai writes, in his second year, Parsha Shmini, Sif Yotes, he says she needs a yarmulke not a yarmulke, but she can't make a bracha without something on her head. So she has to wear a hat or a towel on her. Usually you put a towel on your head because you're not wearing your normal hat. She has to put a towel on her head to say the bracha because you're not allowed to say a bracha with your head uncovered. In most Spartan nowadays, our machmir, another chumra, she puts a towel on her head to not say a bracha with her head uncovered. Some Spartan or machmir, even unmarried girls, should never say a bracha with their head uncovered. But many Sfarim are machmir that married women shouldn't say mele, they cover their hair in the street. They should also cover their hair whenever they say a bracha, even at home by themselves or even in the mikvah. And therefore, in Sfarim mikvahs, they always give you a towel to put on your head to say the bracha. In Ashkenazi mikvahs, there are some who are machmir, but the mainstream minhag Ashkenaz is not this way, is to assume that the minhag of covering your head for a bracha only applies to men. And even a woman who's married who covers her hair in the street, there's no minhag she has to cover her hair for a bracha. So let's just put this. Fifth issue is Giloy is Bracha Begiloy Rosh. Ben Ishchai is Machmir. And this is the minhag of most Sfardim. Most Sfardim mikvos, the mikvah lady puts a towel on your head to say the bracha. And the Stimas HaPoskim, none of the Poskim ever said a towel on your head. Is that that it's mutter. And this is the mainstream minhag Ashkenaz. I know there are some Ashkenazim who are machmir about this, very few, but the mainstream minhag Ashkenaz, mikvah lady doesn't put a towel on your head to say the bracha. In some Ashkenazim mikvahs, they'll offer you, if you want a towel on your head to say the bracha, to be machmir, but most Ashkenazim are not machmir.
Back to the other question. Some men's mikvahs have like a shower Chris, so I don't know if we're making it rough. Maybe that for Kaelin or something. You know,
could be a problem. Then it could be a problem. I mean, but the general rule is that you're not allowed to tovel Kaelin in a people mikvah. That's a very important rule. It doesn't say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch, but Chamira Sakanta Meisura. Everyone knows what happens if you tovel Kaelin in a men's in a people mikvah. You say, I'm just going to tovel this one kli, which is not, can't break and it's not dangerous at all, just a spoon, whatever. And then you say, well, I tovel the spoon, I'm just going to tovel the steak knife, and then it falls to the bottom. Or, I'm just going to tovel this one glass bowl, but I'll be very careful, and it falls to the bottom and breaks, and then Chas V'Shalom. You should know, it's not funny. Like, usually, you step on a piece of broken glass, it's no big deal, but a person could die if they step wrong on broken glass. And therefore, I think it's a very important rule, if you're ever in charge of mikvah, no kalim, low plug, even if the kli is just a metal spoon, no kalim and people mikvahos, because it could lead to sakana, and there's no way you're going to trust people to not do something that could be sakana, and then they'll be embarrassed, and they won't say, and they'll mean to call someone to say they broke a glass in the mikvah, but they're so embarrassed that they'll make themselves forget to, and then chas v'shalom could be sakana, so you shouldn't get into that shaila.
Two questions. One, if a woman's mikvah has the mikvah itself in the room where she preps, so there is a shower there and there's a bath there, would that be different?
Then I think that would be more of a problem. Yeah.
And second question, is bench tie specifically for mikvah or anytime the woman makes a bracha?
Anytime, even mikvah. Yes. I don't know what the minhag is nowadays. Anyone, how many people's wives are, I don't know if you know what your wife's minhag is. Raise your hand if you know your wife's minhag is that even if she's home by herself, she puts on a hat to say a bracha. Raise your hand if you know your wife's minhag is that when she's home by herself, she makes a bracha and she doesn't put on her hat. Okay, so there are different minhag and minhag. What's that? Okay. No.
What is that? Like,
but I think in general, Sephardim are more, the ratio would have been different for Sephardim.
Covering your hair with your hand is nothing, right?
We paskin, it doesn't help. Yeah.
It doesn't make me garfle.
What?
But a garfle, it does help.
Like putting your hands like
hugging your chest is me.
You know, it wouldn't make
no, sense. Okay, because there's a difference between libo roasa erva and kisoy. You need kisoy roshan, it's not a kisoy. Okay, it could just be old for you. Okay.
What about a ceiling? Does a ceiling count for anything?
No. Okay, I'm going to beg your indulgence for 5 minutes, because there's one more halacha we need to learn. Here, someone quickly hand this out. It's from Simon Reish Aleph, which I don't have in my volume, so I don't know if you have. You probably do. The last row on Reish Aleph, we're not going into the details. We're going to take 5 minutes past the local mice. I'm not going to put it on the board. This is very nogela mice, so every rabbi gets shilas about this. Everyone knows, what's the halacha? In the old days, there was a problem. People used to go to the mikvahs, which are dirty, and then what would they do after the dirty mikvah? They would shower. And then what do people start thinking? In the old days, I don't mean reform. I mean 2,000 years ago. 2,500 years ago. They would think the shower was important and not the mikvah, and they would skip the mikvah and just do the shower. And then they would be chayiv misa b'nei shamayim for eating truma, b'toma, and kareis for b'olonida. So chazal made, but mostly for truma. Chazal made gzeira. Anyone who showers in mayim she'uvim is a tame. And that way, whenever you want to eat truma, you would tovel and you wouldn't shower. Or bathe in mayim she'uvim. And then it would avoid that mistake. So anyone who showers or bathes in Mayim She'uvim is tummy. There's a weird sheet according to the Ramah. Says the Mordechai, she can go heat herself up, warm up in a bathhouse. So wash herself in Mayim She'uvim afterwards. Yesh Olsun, the Mordechai Bishem Rav Shvat. His name wasn't Rav Shvat. It was the Rashbat, Shmuel Bar Nutranai, I think. But the Chei Nagu, Minig Ashkenaz is that it is usher to take a bath or a shower after the mikvah because they made a gezeira to not be confused and people skip the mikvah and just do a shower or a bath. Says the Shach, Shalom Yomer, Americans who matar, come on, tzvila, matar, Americans who chutz. They might think the Americans ikker and skip the mikvah and just take a bath. And therefore, a woman cannot bathe or shower after mikvah. That is the standard minhag. After mikvah, she can't bathe or shower. Until when? So, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, for an entire halachic day, till the next tzeis. Says every other posting in the world, no, until like a human day, until she wakes up in the morning. So, mainstream halacha is, she cannot shower or bathe till the next morning. Because if she waits till the next morning, she's showing that the mikvah was ikker. She didn't shower or bathe till a long time later. Halacha l'maaseh, you're not allowed to shower or bathe till the next morning. Otherwise, this gzeira applies. The Gra says that's ridiculous. Says the Gra in Perakam and Shabbos Yidal and Alvar Barusha of Chulish of Etchila of Chuli Lo Eilam Atarim Elam of Chuli Masha Enkin Lazia Val Parcholko Alav. Everyone disagrees with this Rashbat. The Xer is showing all the Truma. That Xer is only one of the things for Truma, not for Bala. She would tell him the Truma there is over to be lost, also off the Truma. Shimshah Kamayam means Sir Harry Shemesh, Bechain Tar Bechulin, 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 the Bala, Bala Chulin, who, etc. Says this Xer is only for Truma, and her husband is Chulin, not Truma. So it's Machlokes, Rama, and Gra. How do we paskin? So we paskin, I'll give you four dargas. Lechatchila, lechatchila, we paskin like the Rama. And she should not bathe or shower till the next morning. If she, let's say she feels dirty, she needs to bathe and shower for whatever reason. Like some women, they just feel dirty after the mikvah, or some women might have a problem and might be allergic or sensitive to chlorine. You have to put chlorine in the mikvah, or else people will get bad bacteria and die. Chas v'shalom. So what if a woman has a chlorine sensitivity? So she has to get rid of the chlorine, or what if she's just icky for her? Did she bathe where everyone else bathes? Some people have things about that. So can she be mekel? So the three dargas be mekel. Number one, I won't read inside. Says the Shevet Alevi. Once she touches her husband, it's okay. Because then she knows the mikvah is ikker. She already touched her husband. If she goes to the mikvah, touches her husband, just a touch, and then showers, then it's clear that the mikvah was what's important and not the shower because she touched her husband. So, says the Shevet Alevi, if she needs to shower, she should touch her husband. He says also, if she like does a lot of housework and gets dirty, then clearly we know the mikvah is ikker, she just got dirty. Okay, so level number one, the chachila, don't shower till the next morning. Level number two, touch her husband, then shower. Level number three, what if she can't even wait that long? Says it's Tzitz Eliezer. Near the fiyas, that shavish the horse head lost in the glach, like a field of mikvah, leisha, ba, leishol. Al kach, ba, shesha, please, any margisha, ba, tobe, at field of mikvah, shiva, le, pleo, la, deal, la, gam, shim, tukal, la, shkish, lo, yichos, ba, ach, za, rosh, ba, gof, le, chayim, and lishta, rosh, bli, ruish, la, gof, ya, harka, gof, li, rosh, as, mutter, gomer, okay, I skipped a little. It's Tzitz Eliezer. Says it's Tzitz Eliezer. He says, if she does, it says on Rosh of Arubo, if she does her head separately and her body separately, then it's okay. Says it's Tzitz Eliezer. Or if she does it at home, it's okay. Maybe it's only if it's in the same place. Says Ravadi, in the end, she can make a legamri if she needs to. So halacha lemaisa, let's just put the Seder at Dufiyod of the different shitas, and all they all have svaras wrapping into them. Now, the best is, when can she shower? When can she shower or bathe? The best is the next morning. That's l'chachima. No one's machmir like Rav Moshe the next night. Or after she touches her husband. Or at home. Or if she's really stuck, even right away in the mikvah. If she is really stuck, like it's really bad for her skin to have the chlorine, etc. And if possible, better to do her head separately and her body separately, because the lashon gzeira is rosh over rubo v'mayim shuvim. So if she does only her rosh separately and only her robe separately, maybe it doesn't count. And then if she's using one of these, she should try to wash head and body separately. After all, in the end, her Rosh and Rov did go in Rayim Sheuvim, but maybe it's a Tzad Lekula if they weren't together. Okay, that's a little mice. This comes up all the time. There are women with greater sensitivities and less sensitivities, so you should compromise as much as you need to in the circumstances. Ideally, don't compromise at all. Don't shower till the next morning. That's what most people do. Why would they want to shower till the next morning? They just went to the mikvah. But if they need to, after they talk to their husband, or if they can't wait that long after they get home, or if they can't wait that long, even in the mikvah, and if they can separate their body from their head, then that's an additional tzad l'hakel, and it's mekel on this shayla. Okay, so much for Hilchas Tefila. I think Hadron Alech Hilchas Tefila. Like I said, we'll start Chazara. And on Tuesday in the regular slot, we'll just have a short shiur about how to build a mikvah. That will not be ve'iyon, that will just be general bechias, and not on the bechina. But I think it's important for everyone to know. And whoever forgot to bring schnapps today should bring it on Tuesday, b'diavad.